grief.
What does anybody say to this family? It's very extremely difficult.
Services were held for six-year-old Jack Pinto and Noah Posner. NBC's Danielle Lee is in Newtown where the funerals continue.
Among the services today, a viewing for Vicky Soto, the teacher who died shielding her students.
The violence in Connecticut is leading to a renewed push for more gun control. Many are pointing to the grim statistics, as reports NBC's Tom Costello.
8,500 people die each year in gun violence. Just since Columbine, nearly 14 years ago, more than 30 mass murders involving guns.
This is NBC News Radio. For those of us who have to drive for our morning commute, there's some good news at the gas pump.
We are looking at the lowest price of the year right now for the national average for retail gasoline. It's just shy of $3.25 a gallon. It's the lowest price we've seen since December 28th of 2011.
CNBC's Sharon Epperson reporting. The Army psychiatrist charged in the deadly Fort Hood shooting rampage is to appear in military court. It's for his first pretrial hearing in more than 3 months. The new judge overseeing Major Nidal Hassan's case is to discuss the trial schedule today. Even though a jury recently found that some Samsung phones illegally used Apple technology, a federal judge is rejecting Apple's demands that Samsung stop selling these models in the U.S. The battle involves three older generation smartphones. He was a World War II hero who would become the first Japanese-American in Congress. Democrat Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii has died. Inouye was 88. I'm Mara Sciavocampo, NBC News Radio.
Dear Honda, thanks for giving my boyfriend Jake a great deal during your Happy Honda Day sales event. He said it's the perfect time to get a new Civic. It could be because the dealers are giving great deals on new Civics, but I think it means he's ready to pop the question. Plus, with the money he saved, I'm thinking giant rock. Love, Shelley Evans, Nay Brown.
More happiness with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Now's the time to get a great deal like 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on the 2012 Civic. Visit your Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
If you needed a brain transplant, would you go to the second best brain surgeon? No, you'd go with number one. Well, it's exactly the same with printer ink. Yeah, sort of. See, Staples is the number one ink retailer in America. And right now, get a $15 iTunes gift card instantly when you spend $75 or more on ink at Staples. It's a no-brainer. Staples. That was easy.
In-store only. Ends 12/24/12. Gift cards not returnable. Returned ink refund amount reduced by gift card value. Excludes Epson and inks. Subject to availability while supplies last. No rain checks. Limit to Apple not participating in or sponsoring promotion.
Equity firm Cerberus Capital Management is getting itself out of the gun industry. The company announces this morning it will sell the Freedom Group, the nation's largest gun maker, whose brands include Bushmaster and Remington. This follows the school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, plus pressure from some of the major stakeholders in Cerberus, including large teachers' pension funds, to get out of guns. This morning, signs of hope as first the House Speaker, now the President, both move on their former stances regarding tax increases for the highest income earners. That's pointing to maybe a good day on Wall Street on new fiscal cliff hope. S&P futures up 4, NASDAQ futures gaining 12, Dow futures up 31. Apparently few of us willing to pay to see a movie we already saw years ago, even if it's now in 3D. Los Angeles Times reports Hollywood is rethinking re-release of all these old films in 3D, after most, including Titanic, Star Wars Episode I, and Finding Nemo, all underperformed at the box office. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
As many as 7.5 million Americans have psoriasis, and many of them suffer in silence, hiding their itching, flaking, and discomfort. If you're living with psoriasis, your new life begins now when you call for a risk-free trial of SebaClear. SebaClear provides fast, topical relief of skin psoriasis. SebaClear helps to stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by your psoriasis, even if you've tried everything else, even if you've suffered for years. Imagine living without discomfort and embarrassment, and without wearing long clothes to hide your psoriasis. We're so confident you'll love your skin after using SebaClear that we're offering it risk-free. But you have to call now.
Call 1-800-469-4831. That's 1-800-469-4831. Try SebaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-469-4831. That's 1-800-469-4831.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby Pro. You pushed to talk, we've pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
This is Rene Pena Jr. talking about his Nissan NV Cargo on Hidden Microphone.
This van is kind of square.
If it's square, it gives you more room.
All that room just helps out.
What are you going to do with all these shelves?
Filters, just all kinds of stuff. So
if you don't have that much space, by the end of the day, your stuff's everywhere. If everything has its place, that's where it's going to go back, you know.
Well, aren't you organized?
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan NV Cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
And welcome, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 18th day of December, the year 2012, and it's a pleasure to be with you on this early Tuesday morning, and there is so much going on, and we've got a lot of stuff to bring to you as we work our way through the morning and through this week. I've got to tell you that I continue to be almost embarrassed by the wonderful support you are all showing me these days. And I almost got caught up on email yesterday. Excuse me. And foolish me decided to take a little break. And that's when all hell broke loose once again. But that's okay. I'm getting to y'all. Those of you that have received a response know that. Those of you that haven't received a response, it's a coming. I promise it's a coming. Anyway, we've got a great program lined up for you today, so let's take a look at what we do have going on, or potentially have going on, and then we'll move forward. In the 7 o'clock hour, attorney John Marco will be joining us. There was a horrible set of circumstances happening at the Michigan Department of Corrections where not just one African-American, but more than one. I don't have a number for you. Perhaps the attorney Marco will. People that were being discriminated against at MDOC. And this is bad stuff. And there was a recent judgment made against the Michigan Department of Corrections. But we have been led to believe, and I think justifiably so, that if there is racial discrimination going on at the Michigan Department of Corrections, they should have to pay. Folks, this is not the kind of thing we want to be dealing with, but I remind you that racism is still a huge issue in this country, and it should never be in the workplace. And oh my, if it is, then what? Well, we're going to talk about that, because money alone doesn't solve this problem. Winning a lawsuit certainly doesn't solve this problem. 7:35, Jeff, and I'm gonna go with Goldfoil, but we'll make sure it's Goldfoil. We'll make sure that's right before we have mine. He's the president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. And, for those of you that have been paying attention to the show, you know there have been some changes in the Michigan recall laws. We're gonna walk through what those changes are and potentially what they mean for those people that are chomping at the bit to get some recalls going. Jessica Tremontana joins us at 8 o'clock from Progress, Michigan. We'll be talking about Senate Bill 59. And you would know it as the gun legislation bill. Governors all over the place once again. We'll check in with her. Brandon Jessup with Michigan Forward joins us. Lots of things on our agenda, not just the new Public Act 4, if you will, or the new Emergency Manager Law.
But some of the changes that Michigan Forward is looking for with regard to our electoral process, and I'm going to get to the electoral process here in just a few minutes. You're going to be blown away when I tell you what I'm, well, maybe you won't be. Just think the American Legislative Exchange Council, and then you're not surprised. David Madland joins us at 9 o'clock, the director of the American Worker Project at the Center for American Progress. He's going to talk to us about right to work for less and the value of unions and the consequences of not having them. 9:35, Pulitzer Prize-winning author David K. Johnston joins us. He is the author of many books. His latest, The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. And I promise he's got lots of great stuff to say. With all that said, it's time to get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word of the day is a fairly easy one. Family. Now, listen, not everybody has a positive connotation of family, but we're going to keep it on the up and up this morning, I promise. A family, you know, that strengthening, that, and it doesn't have to be blood family. As you know, for some of us, the most important people in our lives are not necessarily blood. Now, I'm not talking about a spouse or a partner, because, well, you would, at least you would hope that they would be, especially once you've committed to each other, part of your family. I'm talking about, well, what we go through. I consider us a family. Sometimes it's like-minded people just being together and finding great comfort and camaraderie in that. Other times it is a monumental watershed moment like last Tuesday at the state capitol. That brings us together and forms its own kind of family. You know, again, this is going to be a simple one. I'm not going to complicate this. Family is any group of people of two or more, because you can't be a family of one. Any group of people or of two or more that has genuine affection for each other, that is willing to protect one another, and enjoys being together. Now, that's going to be my definition of family, not necessarily everybody's definition of family. We can certainly throw love in there. We can certainly throw respect in there. And we should, and we do. But I think, especially at times of great need, and we are in a time of great need, family is critically important to the fabric of who we are. It strengthens us. It is a part of our resolve, knowing that you've got your family. And what's one of the first questions people are asked when they do something significant? How does your family feel about this? Does your family support you? Well, there's a reason for that. Families are critical. Critical to our backbone, critical to moving forward, critical to our vision. So, a little family can go a long way. No question that's true. And today's first word is family.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off from second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they cut Red Wings. For the third time in 11 years are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And we welcome Anthony back for our sports segment. And I'm listening to the end of that open. And, of course, you know, it's the Detroit Pistons just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers. But they didn't do anything with the Clippers last night, losing by 12 in a pretty lame effort, eh?
Yeah, another tough loss. Just a better team than us. They didn't really get anything going during the game.
And, of course, Chauncey Billups was in town with the Clippers last night. He didn't play because he's nursing a bad ankle. The Free Press interviewed him, and there's some talk that Joe Dumars might want to bring him back to mentor some younger players for a year and then offer him some kind of coaching job. Chauncey didn't necessarily say he wouldn't do it, but he didn't necessarily say he would. I don't know if you're aware of this, but NBA general managers were asked to rate the players most likely to make good coaches, and Chauncey Billups was number one.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know they did that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, you know, he talked, you know, glowingly about being in Detroit. I'd like to have talked to him after the game when, I don't know, when 14 people showed up, and, of course, he remembers a couple championships and, you know, record selling sellouts and all that stuff. And it just ain't that way no more.
No, it's definitely not. Was the attendance up yesterday? I mean, the Clippers, I don't know if people want to come see Blake Griffin and Chris Paul.
You know, I didn't check. I really didn't check the attendance. And the reason I stopped checking, because you know it's not accurate.
Yeah, sometimes those 15,000 looks like there's like 500 people there.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, is that few, but.
Well, it's my understanding the way they do this, the attendance is paid attendance. So that's season ticket holders, et cetera. So you've got to know that there are people that just obviously buy tickets, especially season tickets, and don't show up.
Yeah, you think they'd start giving away tickets by now.
Well, maybe they are, and we just don't know about it. Maybe we're just not plugged into that circle. I don't know, but that was it. That was it in sports. There was really nothing spectacular going on. I mean, Anibal Sanchez signed his 5-year, $80 million contract yesterday, and his agent said that staying with Detroit actually cost him money. He left money on the table to stay with the Tigers. So I don't know who offered him more than that, but he'd be a fool, Anthony, if he turned down more money than that.
Yeah, I wonder how much more money he turned down. But he does get to play on a good baseball team that has a chance to win a World Series.
And that's basically what he said. He wanted to come back and be a part of that. So he'll get that opportunity, no question about it. Unless you know something I don't, and you always know something I don't. But I think that's it for sports.
Yeah, it was a slow Monday.
It was a very slow Monday. No news from the National Hockey League, and that's it. There's no news from the National Hockey League. That story gets tired. So that's it today for sports, folks. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit, of course, about this gun law. I've got a ton, and I mean a ton, of audio on just that one issue. So we'll go through some of it. And then whatever's on your mind, I would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. I want to thank those of you that sent me emails yesterday wanting to know if I would keep you in the loop once we close down this program on Friday, wherever I end up. And so thanks all of you for sending an email. Let me give you the number. If you want, you can call us now. We're going to be open lines this entire hour. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. A quick break, and we get it going right after this. Tony Trupiano wanting to wish all of you the happiest and most joyous of holiday season. Whether you celebrate the Christmas holiday or just celebrate the time of year, know that we here at First Shift care about you and wish you the very best.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
So far this morning, there are no accidents to report, so that's good news. However, we do have a few things going on. The off-ramp to I-94 westbound at Addison Street, exit 212, is closed until 5 a.m. Thursday morning. Also, due to a water main repair, the right lane is closed on Telegraph Road northbound between Maple and Cranbrook. Other than that, your roadways are looking good. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
There's no taste like Honeybaked for the holidays, and there's no savings like $7 off your Honeybaked ham when you sign up to become a VIP. Only Honeybaked ham is fire-glazed, slow-smoked, then hand-finished one at a time. For our $7 coupon, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very goodly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Feel free to join us. We just gave you the number again. Would love to hear from you, whatever's on your mind. I'm going to turn my attention now to the phone and welcome my good friend Vamani, who actually is a candidate for office, I understand, running for city council in one of the new districts. Vamani, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for mentioning that. I was going to say something about that. Yeah, I posted it on your Facebook page yesterday. I'm running for city council in District 1. Which is over by, which is at the end of the city by Telegraph and 96. And it goes, well, I mentioned the border, you know, 96 all the way to 8 Mile. And it goes all the way to Hubble and then Southfield Road and to the end of the city, which is Redford. I think the last street in Detroit is Five Points.
Gotcha.
So that'll be my district that I'm running in. And so I've been out, you know, and about in the neighborhood and in community meetings because I'm familiar with all the community meetings because I used to work for one of the councilmen myself. So, yeah, I'm a candidate. And, I'm happy to run. This is the second time I've done it. So I've got a little experience running for city council. So, we really need to do some serious work in this neighborhood to help revitalize Detroit and vote for some people who are not necessarily popular, but people who are definitely going to stand up for Detroit and have some backbone, because you certainly can't say that about at least five of the members of the city council now.
Now, you're right, and this is the first election where the people of Detroit are voting by district. Is that correct, Bamani?
Right. Right, this is the first election where they'll be voting by district. I ran citywide before, but this ought to be a little easier because I don't have to cover as much ground, but it was good for me because last time I lost 20 pounds walking the streets. But that's a good thing, too, so it gave me some exercise. But I also want to say how much we're going to miss you. I'm just really upset that the station is going to be gone, you know. And I look for, I listen to you all, frankly, all day and all night, the station, and it's just kind of upsetting that you're not going to be around anymore.
Well, so, I appreciate that. The station won't be around. I will. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to land, but I plan to stay active until I figure out what my next step is, Bomani. But I'm going to miss the station too. I listen to it as well, so it'll be sad that we don't have any progressive talk in the Detroit market any longer. In fact, in the state, there's not progressive talk anywhere in the state, and I just don't get that. But, this is purely a business decision, and you just have to go with it because there's nothing I can do to change it.
So there's no need for me to be a conspiracy theorist and think there's something else going on.
Well, you can be, but I don't think that's still not going to do any good. So if it'll make you feel better, go for it, bud. But I'm choosing to focus on moving forward on a positive direction, and just making the best of my last week of live shows here, and that's really where I'm at. Is it going to be an emotional end of the week? Absolutely it will. I think you've probably figured it out by
now.
Oh,
yeah, it'll be very emotional.
I've kind of fallen in love with you guys.
Yeah, I know some of my other friends have kind of upset, too, especially when I told them yesterday, because I think they were in shock. I didn't think they really understood that it was going to be the end. So they were quite upset when I explained it to them yesterday, But I definitely will be inviting you out to maybe some of the fundraisers and some of the speaking engagements. I'll keep you abreast of things that are going on in my campaign. Absolutely.
Well, I'm gonna be following you, and if there's anything I can do to support you, Bomani, I'm there for you, pal.
Absolutely, and Harvey's a big supporter of me too. So, we'll definitely always have that connection, and definitely will see you again, I'm sure.
You got it,
hopefully,
brother.
Several times again.
Thank you so much, and happy holidays and a Merry Christmas to you, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon, Bomani.
Okay, happy holidays.
Thank you, brother. Too. Appreciate it. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Again, we're open lines for the entire hours, so feel free to give us a call if you've got something on your mind. We'd love to hear from you. Bomani's one of those wonderful people that's engaged. He's not a sour grapes kind of guy, although he didn't win in his last election attempt. It didn't dissuade him from staying involved, staying connected, trying to make a difference, speaking truth to power. These are the kind of people that we need in government. One of the really interesting things here, not that there won't be other elections in the area, in Southeast Michigan, and actually around the state in 2013, obviously what's happening in the city of Detroit is significant, and that will eat up a lot of airtime. That'll suck a lot of oxygen out of the room, and I don't mean that in a negative way in any way, shape, or form. Because what happens in the city of Detroit in 2013 does affect everybody. Some people are a little bit more squeamish about this than I am, but I have no problem saying it. As goes Detroit, as goes the state of Michigan. And we need to get them turned around, and Bomani's one of the people that can do that. Let's go back to the phones again, 888-552-3595. My pal Mike in Clawson's on the line. Merry Christmas to you, Mike. How you doing this morning?
Merry Christmas, Tony. Some of the weirdest thoughts come to my mind. Friday's your last show, right?
Yes.
And the date is the 21st, right?
yes.
You see where I'm going, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that you were a follower of Mayan philosophy, but go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'm not really, but I just, and I don't believe it for a second, but I just thought, well, they got to be right about one thing.
Well, there have actually been a couple of people that have suggested that that's not a coincidence. It also happens to be the first day of winter, or you can look at it this, the last day of fall, or the death of fall. So take it any way you want, Michael. It is what it is. Yes, the timing is a bit curious.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. I can get into a rant, and I'm a little bit of a conspiratorist on this issue of why they're dropping the whole station, but, oh, well, as you say, it is what it is.
That's right, and we'll get through it, and, you know, I feel, you know, I feel positively that we'll end up somewhere else. You know, I've been, you know, I was at an event last night, and I don't think I'm going to necessarily be back in the mornings. Because there's just only so much real estate, Mike, but that doesn't mean that I won't be back. It just may not be in the morning. And I, you know, whatever. Whatever keeps my voice on the air, I'm willing to explore it.
Well, I could tell you, as long as it's regular radio, AM or FM, I'm okay. I don't own a band for satellite radio, so you better stick to
it. All right, just for you, I will avoid satellite radio. Anyway, Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We got to get to the break. Amir, stay where you're at. We'll come up to you next. Folks, it's open line. Whoever's on your mind, we want to hear from you. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. You know, Christmas is creeping up on us. Happy holidays to you. Let's take the break. We'll come back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
So far this morning, there are no accidents to report, so that's good news. However, we do have a few things going on. The off-ramp to I-94 westbound at Addison Street, exit 212, is closed until 5 a.m. Thursday morning. Also, due to a water main repair, the right lane is closed on Telegraph Road northbound between Maple and Cranbrook. Other than that, your roadways are looking good. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch cards to anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Let's quickly go to the phone and welcome Stephen Monroe to First Shift.
I think you can look at the bigger picture, and the unions basically brought the textile industry to its knees.
But go ahead,
say
Ross.
This about the textile industry. It was largely non-union, so that's one of the, I have to say, that's kind of a dumb argument.
On 1310 WDTW.
After saddling Hostess Brands with nearly $1 billion in debt, engaging in years of gross mismanagement, plunging the sugary snack maker into bankruptcy, and eliminating the middle-class jobs of some 18,000 Americans, shouldn't the owners and top executives at least have to say we're sorry and do some sort of penance? Of course they should. But don't hold your breath waiting for common ethics to flower in Hostess headquarters. After all, this is corporate world, a laissez-faire land where failure at the top is not punished but magically rewarded. Thus, the maker of Twinkies, Ho-Hos, Ding Dongs, and Devil Dogs has announced that 19 of the executives who made a mess of Hostess are now to be given $1.8 million in bonuses on top of sweet pay raises they'd already grabbed. The bonuses were described as incentive pay to keep these geniuses on the job as they oversee the firing of all those workers. However, CEO Gregory Rayburn will not get a bonus, but shed no tears for him, since he's currently being paid $125,000 a month to dismantle the corporation. Also, while Lord Gregory has imposed a company-wide pay cut on management employees, he generously exempted himself from the hit. Talk about a devil dog. But wait, there's more. Not satisfied with killing the jobs of 18,000 workers, Hostess Honchos also looted money that, by contract, was supposed to go into the workers' pension funds. As the company was sinking toward bankruptcy, the ding-dongs in the executive suite, who, remember, were giving themselves pay raises at the time, were secretly diverting worker pension money into corporate operations in a stopgap ploy to keep Hostess afloat and to disguise their incompetence.
This is Jim Hightower saying, forget doing penance. These guys ought to be doing 10 to 20 in prison for grand larceny.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Tuesday morning, we go back to the phones and welcome my friend Amir in Detroit. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. You ready for the holiday, Amir?
Oh, always ready, sir. Hate to see you going or this station going. No, you're not going to go anywhere. You going to do online radio? Maybe.
I'm going to do something. We're just going to, I want to get through this week with a clear head and open heart and see what happens from there, Amir.
Okay, and just with our illustrious government in the state of Michigan, and as you say, as Detroit goes, so does the state of Michigan, and I'm looking at it like this, since all politicians like to make legislation that specifically hit Detroit to basically violate my civil rights in every shape, form, and way that they can, mainly with my taxes, why should Detroit still be a part of the state?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I wish I had an answer to that.
Yeah, I wish some of our politicians or these people that want to run for office would literally look at taking a city from the state and succeeding from them and just let us be our own city-state. And let us survive on our own without the state of Michigan and see how it goes. And I think we can do a much better job because then we'll have to worry about people up in Lansing making legislation to destroy the city of Detroit.
Now, they seem to be hell-bent on doing that. At this point, you got to look at Rick Snyder and Andy Dillon. And, you know, we don't know what their full agenda is. We really don't, Amir. But we know it's not. I don't think it's honorable.
I know what it is. It's called making everything private. It's privatization. It's corporatizing our neighborhoods, our state. You know, Rick Snyder's a businessman. And the only thing businessmen know about doing is outsourcing and privatization. Just listen at Hostess. You know, take the money and run and sell off the assets. That's what they're doing to my city and have been doing since Engler was in office. So those that are running, you know, like the one that just called, we should really look at, and I live in the city of Detroit, and I'm going to talk to those that are going to run about, since the state does not want to work with Detroit because all the energy programs that the federal government has out, why aren't we seeing any solar fields in some of these empty areas in the city of Detroit that our politicians who so-called love the city and want to get us back into being a better city, why aren't we doing those things? Everything's about cut, cut, cut. I haven't heard not a plan to start anything since they've been in office.
Now, that's why
they have not talked about any job.
That's why you need complete and unadulterated regime change. Dave Bing has been an absolute disaster for this city. I'm no fan of Charles Pugh either. You need absolute regime change in the city of Detroit, and we need to clean house in Lansing as well. And I'm going to tell you something, Amir, and I appreciate the call this morning. If we can get rid of this governor and we can turn this legislature around and we can elect a mayor and a city council that understands that the city actually can be an asset, because it can be, well, then we can turn this thing around pretty quickly. But
very quickly.
But if we continue on the path we're on, which is just nothing about, like you said, privatization and greed, we're going to have problems. Thanks for the call, brother. I do appreciate
it.
You bet. 888-552-3595. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my friend, and welcome to First Shift.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. What's on your mind this
morning,
Tom?
You know what? I was rather taken aback. My sister-in-law, she listens to you daily, and she told me that, you know, the end of the month was going to be your, you know, your last hurrah, so to speak. And it's, you know, what they say, it's bittersweet. And let me say this. A cream always rises to the top, and you are the cream de la cream.
You're very nice.
You did deny. I'm just being factual. But, no, you you did your gig real good, and you might have did it too good, you know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, you know, like I said, cream always rises to the top. And, I mean, you know, you'll land on your feet just like you did the last time. And, you know, as the whispers say, and the beat goes on.
And the beat does go on. And, you know, again, yeah. I'm going to stay positive this week, put together a string of good shows, and then we'll see what's on the other side of this.
Right. Let me say this before I go. Folks, don't forget the midterm election.
Fair enough, my friend. Fair enough. Tom, once again, thank you so much for everything. And I got a few more days. This doesn't have to be your last call. 888-552-3595. Pete and Clausen joins us now. Pete, thanks for punching in this morning, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, too, Tony. And, again, I echo the last caller's sentiments. I really enjoy your show, and it's really quite a shame. One of the things that I like most about it is that, and you find this on both sides, is you don't attack the person that's making the speaking their mind, but you actually go to the issue and you discuss the issue rather than try and destroy the person's character, which is really refreshing. You see that on both ends of the radio, and that's really quite refreshing. But calling in regards to the unions and what's been, the way I see what's been going on, and part of the issue or why they might be losing their power is if you look back at to all of the things that they fought for, you look at the 40-hour work week, the OSHA standards, the getting overtime pay, and now with the passage of national health care, I mean, so many things are now in law that it's really kind of they're losing. I don't want to say a reason to fight, because there will always be work to do, and there will always be corporate greed, which I believe that there is.
Well, I think that's been proven pretty profoundly the last few years. But go ahead, Pete.
Right, right. But just a little bit more in description of where I work in the automotive business. A lot of the design and engineering work is going over to what they refer to as LCC, low-cost countries. In our China office, there's actually like 400 employees for our company that do the work that I do. Now, this has only been in the last 5 years, but the thing I talk to people mostly about is I don't blame our management or our company for that situation. They're trying to do the best they can in a very competitive business, but they're not the ones that created the game or the playing field. I believe the Pandora's box that really opened up all of this was back in 1993 with the passage of CAT and NAFTA. And when that happened, you know, I said to my wife, you know, that what was happening, and she says, well, we're going to send you back to school and get a degree. I got a degree for what? They're going to send accounting overseas. There's really nothing that's nailed down except for some type of service industry. And so a lot of times I believe it's the fault of our own government for creating this situation.
No truer words have ever been spoken. I do believe it is the fault of our government. You brought up NAFTA. If we go back and if we're going to place blame, let's place it fully on both George Herbert Walker Bush and President Bill Clinton, who both were great cheerleaders of NAFTA. I was never a big fan of it. We'll remember, and I'm sure you do, Ross Perot. You know, that big sucking sound
great
you hear.
Great sucking sound, right. Exactly.
And he was Pete. He's 100% right. A lot of those jobs. I belong to a group called Whatever It Takes. They meet at UAW Local 174. And their whole goal is to try to figure out a way to undo NAFTA. Now, it's a big goal, and this one small group isn't going to do it, but it's worthy of the conversation. It's certainly worth meeting about. Absolutely it is. And
what's it called again?
Whatever It Takes. If you go onto Facebook, they have a Facebook page. Just type in Whatever It Takes, and you'll find it.
Okay. And I don't do Facebook, but is there a way to follow you? Are you going to still have some type of blog up? Or
send me an email. And, yeah, I've got the website, but send me an email, and I'm going to I asked people to do this yesterday, Pete, and I'm going to be giving you email updates, and I'm going to start blogging on a regular basis. And I'm going to stay as connected as I possibly can. And, you know, as I said yesterday, I'm still willing to speak at meetings and be engaged in the fight until I figure out where I'm going to land.
Right, right. Well, I really enjoy it's a really healthy discussion without personal attacks. And it's something that I listen to a lot of radio throughout the day, and both mostly, like I said before, mostly opposing points of view, because I already know what I think. So I listen to mostly progressive talk because I am a conservative. But, you know, I don't really need to listen to the other side because I already know what they're going to say.
Gotcha.
And so, but I really enjoyed the way that you tackle the issues and discuss the issues without bringing it, you know, personal attacks and name calling. I mean, there's every once in a while you'll come out with the Republicans, but you know, whatever. That's just tongue in cheek.
Yeah, you know. And listen, Pete, I'm not perfect. You have always been very respectful to me. I've always been very respectful to you. If nothing else, we're an example of what happens when two level-headed people have a conversation. Pete, it's really not as hard as people think it is. Thank you so much for the call.
Not.
Thank you so much for the call, and have a great holiday season. I truly appreciate the phone call. We've got to take a break here. We're, again, open lines at the top of the hour. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And, Pete, that is the best way to stay connected to me. And then on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We'll take a quick break here, wrap up this hour on the other side.
This is Kevin from First Shift wishing all of our listeners a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
In negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. We had Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MFA, negotiated bonds, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, in this unique situation, the state says, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city's money. I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, the $137 million. But Dylan said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dylan who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Jack's giving away one gift a day for free to people like me. Enter every day for the next 12 days. Seriously, call Star Star SJ. That's Star Star 75 from your mobile phone now to unlock today's gift and start winning big.
No purchase necessary. Enter online at SweetJack.com.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. This first hour flying by today on this Tuesday morning. You've got the number, so give us a call. Let's welcome Les in Detroit to the program. Les, as always, a pleasure to talk to you, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, fellow patriot. Man, Tony, when I heard the news Friday, you know, I was sad pretty much all weekend that a great voice like yours is being erased at a crucial time in history where we need all the liberal voices to change America. And yours is a true liberal voice in it seemed like in the wilderness. And, man, you're going to be sorely missed in the morning, Tony. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be sorely missed. But we appreciate your frank and honesty, and that seemed to be lacking in our democracy movement today. And I just don't know what to say, Tony. You know, you've been, ever since I found you on the radio, man, I look forward to mornings. Now, I don't know. You do Detroit and the surrounding areas a great service with what you do. So, and I hope you find a new home somewhere so we can stay tuned, plugged in.
Les, I appreciate that, and I might have been knocked down, but I haven't been knocked out. And there's a big difference between the two, as you know, brother. I have to believe, and you know, I can say this to you and in the audience without shame. You know, God has a purpose in all this, and I understand that. You know, one of the things, Les, that I think sometimes people forget about spirituality is when they lean on God, they think God gives you things. God doesn't give you things. You know, you can ask God any question you want, but sometimes the answer is no, Les. And it took me a long time to kind of wrap my head around that. Why would God deny me something I want, right? Well, God knows better than I do. God has a plan, and I'm not always privy to that plan. But I can't fathom that we have worked as hard as we've worked the last year and a half for it to be for nothing. So I'm going to hold on to that, Les. I'm going to hold on to this idea that God has a bigger purpose for what we've started, and I think it's going to be whatever's on the other side of this is going to be bigger and better.
Yeah, and you're right, and I know the power of God. I've witnessed it for myself. I talked to Reverend Williams the second yesterday, and he didn't. He just didn't believe it. That was going to be your last week. So I had talked to him, you know, working with the National Action Network, and we want to definitely try to get you to come and speak to our group sometime next year, if that's
I would love to do it. And, you know, just so you know Theo, of course, Les, and Theo does Theo does a television show, and she has asked me to appear as a guest on her show on January 8th. So I will be doing her TV show on January 8th.
I'm a part of Hood Research myself.
Yes, you are. So I'm very much looking forward to doing that. As you know, I have a lot of respect for all my friends, you know, and I consider you a friend, Les. You know, I've met you. I don't think people understand you and I've actually met in person.
I consider you a friend too, Tony. When I met you, that you was just a genuine people. And, you know, I used to be a little shoeshine boy delivering papers, so I learned to know who's good and who's bad real quick. And the vibes that I got from you was all good, all good. You're a good man. You're a good patriot, and definitely a good liberal.
Now, you know, it's still one of my favorite lines, and I love hearing it. Good morning, fellow patriots. You know I love that, Les.
Oh, well, you're going to hear it again. I'm sure.
I'm sure I will. Brother, thank you so much for the call this morning. We got a few more days, so don't feel like you can't call back a little later on in the week. But thank you so much for your call this morning. All right, folks. Wow, we filled this hour quickly. We've only got a couple minutes left. Let me take a quick look at my audio list. And where do I want to go? What do I have time for? Snyder addresses the gun bill on Let It Rip. I want to do that. We have just enough time to get that in. Let's go ahead and play that audio, guys.
Sir, look, I'm a father, you're a father. I'm a gun owner. I don't know if you are, but I don't want guns around my children. I would like maybe we address it by putting a cop at the school, but we cut cops, or money for metal detectors. I don't want it. That's just me. Mm-hmm. You want guns in your kids' school?
Well, again, that's... I don't
just you,
like
not
to
the
see
governor,
guns
you.
In places like that.
Do you own a gun, Governor?
I own a couple. I own a couple rifles and a shotgun.
But you don't bring them to church.
No. I use them for target shooting.
Do you think we have just too many guns around, especially in the city of Detroit?
Well, again, this is where you have strong feelings. Is it the gun or the person with the gun? So, again, we have to be careful to distinguish. Actually, Michigan's had a reasonably good track record in terms of legislation at the state level. Again, there are far too many guns and too much crime in a number of cities, Detroit being one example. And we're really trying to work hard. And I did a public safety message to say we need to bring down crime, in particular in Detroit, Flint, Pontiac, and Saginaw. They're four of the most dangerous places in the country, and that's unacceptable.
I don't want to keep belabor the issue, but I just want to be sure. Are you leaning one way or the other? Are you leaning towards signing this bill? Are you going to say maybe no?
What I would say is that the shooting clearly gives you pause on something like that. And again, I was seriously going to look at this bill anyway. So I don't want to be premature. Again, I don't do that on any bill, is to come out quite often and say until I've actually had a chance to review it. It's going through a very thoughtful process, and again, it's going to get a very hard look.
Huh. You know, what I find funny about that, and I go back, and this is just crazy, I go back to that meeting that the governor had with the Democratic delegation, congressional delegation for Michigan, and Senator Carl Levin, where Sandy Levin, Congressman Sandy Levin, actually had to explain to the governor what right to work was, what the laws, what the federal laws were. So he's going to be very thoughtful on these things. He's going to do his studying. Well, that was, what was the exception, right to work, Governor? Or did you just listen to your ALEC interpreters and just follow what they told you? I'm not saying the governor's a stupid man, because he's not. You don't become as successful as Rick Snyder is by being stupid. That doesn't mean you're always smart. And I would suggest in this go-round, he relied on his quote-unquote advisors, and he was given bullet points, which he memorized. But as Congressman Sandy Levin clearly schooled him, he had the wrong idea of what the laws at the federal level in the state of Michigan already covered. So I'm not buying this. I know I'm very thoughtful on everything I sign. I don't think that's true, Governor Snyder. All right, a quick break here. A lot to get to in the next hour. We'll hopefully have some more time for open lines. Appreciate all the nice words this morning. But let's do that. Let's disconnect. Go fill up our coffees, and then we're going to meet back here just after 7 o'clock and continue to explore the issues that matter to each and every one of us. NBC News coming up at the top of the hour. I am Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by the one and only Honey Baked.
Due to a five-car pileup, I-94 westbound has been closed between Little Mac Ave and Gratiot Ave. Traffic is stopped from North River Road, exit 237. Traffic can detour Little Mac southbound to 12 Mile Road westbound back onto I-94 westbound. We also have slow-moving traffic I-696 westbound between DeQuinder and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your Total Traffic Update.
Where one-of-a-kind holidays are made, reserve your delicious ham or turkey online at honeybakedfoods.com. It only takes a moment to reserve your holiday memories with our convenient online reservations. To make your reservation and to find a store near you, visit honeybakedfoods.com.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees. And it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio. I'm Dirk Van. Breaking news from Syria. NBC Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel and his crew have been freed from captors after a firefight at a checkpoint today, 5 days after they were taken prisoner.
The last 5 days are some days that we would rather forget.
Correspondent Engel and his crew unharmed and safely out of the country. Newtown, Connecticut weeps for two beloved sons. Six-year-olds Jack Pinto and Noah Posner have been laid to rest, the first of 26 killed in Friday's schoolhouse massacre. NBC's Danielle Lee.
This morning brings one step toward healing as students go back to class. But not Sandy Hook. Police have indefinitely locked down the school while their investigation continues.
A thaw in those fiscal cliff negotiations. The Dow starts the day up 100 on optimism that lawmakers and President Obama are finally making progress on averting the automatic tax hikes set to kick in January 1st. This is NBC News Radio. The massacre in Newtown rekindling the debate over gun rights and whether military-style assault weapons with oversized ammo clips should be banned. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Congress and the White House has to come up with something that stops this carnage no matter what the political ramifications are.
The powerful National Rifle Association still silent after the deadly Connecticut shooting. Meanwhile, Newtown faces the long road back.
I'm not sure we're ever going to get back to normal, but whatever we can do to head that way, obviously we want to start doing that.
House Speaker John Boehner will present President Obama's new fiscal cliff offer to House Republicans this morning. Both sides cautiously optimistic. It reportedly calls for tax hikes for those making $400,000 and up. And the prospects for U.S. ski resorts may be going downhill fast as climate change brings less snow and more melt. The New York Times says if trends continue, only about a third of the resorts in the Northeast will be viable by 2040. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Dave Davis here with the Channel 5 traffic report. You're on your own, commuters. I've got shopping to do. Drop her over there, Nick, at the mall.
Prep your car for holiday travel and check gifts off your list today at Sears Auto Center. Come in now and get a $21.99 conventional oil change plus a $5 coupon to shop while you wait. This is being prepared. This is Sears Auto Center. Stop by or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons.
Valid for most vehicles, regularly $29.99. Coupon valid through 12/29. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Brandon Bastardo talking about his Nissan NV Cargo on Hidden Microphone.
You think they do test these doors?
All these are UL rated.
What does that mean?
They have to open it like 1 million times at least.
At least a million times? So they close it and then they open it?
They have a machine that does it.
A machine that opens and closes it? Now that's a job I could do.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm inside the van!
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan NV Cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
The high-powered rifle used in Friday's Newtown school shooting was a Bushmaster. Now the company that owns that brand is getting out of the gun business. Equity firm Cerberus Capital Management says it will sell the Freedom Group, its division including several gun makers such as Bushmaster, Remington, and Marlin. Yesterday, several groups, including the nation's largest teachers' pension fund, said they were reviewing their investments in Cerberus because of its ownership of gun makers. Retailer Dick's Sporting Goods says it is removing some semi-automatic rifles from its stores nationwide. It also tells CNN it has pulled all guns from the store closest to Newtown, Connecticut. Both sides in the fiscal cliff debate, the House Speaker and now the President, have compromised on their former non-compromisable positions regarding tax hikes on high-income earners. That is raising hope in Wall Street of a possible fiscal cliff deal. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 5, NASDAQ futures up 13. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
As many as 7.5 million Americans have psoriasis, and many of them suffer in silence, hiding their itching, flaking, and discomfort. If you're living with psoriasis, your new life begins now when you call for a risk-free trial of SebaClear. SebaClear provides fast, topical relief of skin psoriasis. SebaClear helps to stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by your psoriasis. Even if you've tried everything else, even if you've suffered for years, imagine living without discomfort and embarrassment, and without wearing long clothes to hide your psoriasis. We're so confident you'll love your skin after using SebaClear that we're offering it risk-free. But you have to call now.
Call 1-800-469-4831. That's 1-800-469-4831. Try SebaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-469-4831. That's 1-800-469-4831.
Dear Honda, thanks for giving my boyfriend Jake a great deal during your Happy Honda Days sales event. He said it's the perfect time to get a new Civic. It could be because the dealers are giving great deals on new Civics, but I think it means he's ready to pop the question. Plus, with the money he saved, I'm thinking giant rock. Love, Shelley Evans, Nay Brown.
More happiness with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Now's the time to get a great deal like 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on the 2012 Civic. Visit your Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
If you needed a brain transplant, would you go to the second best brain surgeon? No, you'd go with number one. Well, it's exactly the same with Printer Ink. Yeah, sort of. See, Staples is the number one ink retailer in America. And right now, get a $15 iTunes gift card instantly when you spend $75 or more on ink at Staples. It's a no-brainer. Staples. That was easy.
In-store only. Ends 12/24/12. Gift cards not returnable. Returned ink refund amount reduced by gift card value. Excludes Epson inks. Subject to availability while supplies last. No rain checks. Limit to Apple not participating.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now, First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 18th day of December 2012. You know, and that particular open, it talks about hope. Sometimes we need more than hope. Sometimes we need help. And sometimes that help takes the form of our justice system. But it's not that the justice system is always fair. Let's be honest about that. I talk a great deal on this show, and very openly and honestly, I might add, about the problems we still have in society. And it's a more prevalent problem than I think a lot of people are comfortable saying, with racism. But what happens when that really kind of, I don't even want to say trickles over into the job, but actually slaps you in the face on a daily basis? What happens when, no matter how excellent your work ethic is, that because of the color of your skin, you are treated differently? And if you don't think that's happening in 2012, oh my, you really aren't paying attention. A recent press release crossed my desk just a few days ago, and as I just saw the headline, it really caught my interest because this is a story you need to know about. What makes it a little more disturbing is the employer in this case is the Michigan Department of Corrections, of all things. Joining me now is a very prominent and well-respected attorney by the name of Jonathan Marco. Jonathan is with the Razor Law Firm in Royal Oak, and he's here to tell us about a story that isn't just a story. It's about somebody's life, and although there might be what you consider to be a happy ending, I think that this is really the beginning of a story, not the end of anything. And, Jonathan, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Good morning.
It's such an honor to have you with us. Happiest of the holiday season to you. And, man, I wish that we could have met under different circumstances, Jonathan. And I'm going to let you tell this story, but this is really bothersome. Is anything I said in my open incorrect?
No, you hit the nail right on the head, Tony.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about who Michael Hester is and why we should care.
Well, you know, Michael, I've had the honor and pleasure of representing Mr. Hester over the last year and a half in his struggle against the Department of Corrections. But his struggle started 10 years ago. I mean, this was really one of those heartbreaking stories. Mr. Hester's wife got ovarian cancer about 15 years ago, and he had a, you know, he was a Mason, he worked on the Renaissance Center, he worked on the Silverdome, he worked on big projects around the city, hardworking Mason, but he didn't have health insurance. So he gave all that up to go to work for the Department of Corrections. He took a pay cut so he could get health insurance so he could care for his wife. His wife ultimately passed away. And what happened was he started to notice that at the Department of Corrections, even back 10 years ago, there was an environment where the blacks were being treated different than the whites. So just because of the color of his skin, just because of the pigment in his skin, he was being treated differently. And, I mean, this went back a while. The management at the Department of Corrections used to refer to the African Americans as quote Democrats. They used to put them down. They used to put more work on them. And this really came to a head about 3 years ago. Now about five years ago, but when I took the case about 3 years ago, at the Ryan Correctional Facility, which is located right here in Detroit, and he had a new supervisor came in who wasn't so hidden in his treatment of the African Americans in the shop, but it became blatant. He would single the African Americans out. He called them lazy in front of the Caucasian workers. He would swear at them, tell them to get the F out of the shop. This was a daily basis thing. It got so bad that the African Americans went all the way up the chain of command, all the way up to the warden at the prison, and nothing was done. They were brushed off. It was swept under the rug. It then got so bad that the Caucasians, the whites in the shop, went up the chain of command and said, look, we're embarrassed. This is 2012. This shouldn't be happening. I'm going to work every day, and I'm embarrassed for my African-American counterparts. This isn't right. You got to do something. Nothing was done. And it got to the point where after my guy complained, the supervisor made him make a choice between his job and his life. He said, I want you to put in a 480-volt wiring system that my guy had no idea how to do. My guy's a Mason.
And Jeff, that's the point he's going to make. We're talking about a Mason here, not a master electrician.
Right. And this is, I talked to these guys, you know, I don't know. When I went into this, Tony, I didn't know anything about 480-volt circuit breakers and everything. And I asked the guys, I asked every single guy, well, you know, what's the big deal about this? This was something that only you had to know what you're doing or you could get killed. And my guy said, what do you do? He was even going to go do it. He said, give me paperwork on it. So if I die or something happens, it'll be documented that I didn't go off and do this because nobody did. And they refused. And then my guy refused to do it, and they wrote him off. And this is just an example of the kind of stuff that happened over and over. And he had to go to work at this place on a daily basis. And the worst part is they knew about it. They had noticed, and they didn't do anything. They ignored the problem.
Yeah, isn't it my a couple things? Isn't it in my understanding that he, when he refused to do this job that he was not qualified to do, that they literally laid him off for 16 months?
No, on this job he got written up and he got disciplined. But another example, Tony, thank you for bringing that up, is inexplicably he gets a phone call. It says, don't come into work. And 16 months go by. Over a year and a half. Then he gets a phone call that says, you can come back to work now. No explanation why. I subpoenaed his entire personnel file, not a single shred of documentation. And this is the kind of games that they were allowed to play. And I was personally appalled, you know, to see this happening in Detroit in 2012. You know, this is something that you may expect 100 years ago. I didn't expect to see this kind of racism so strong and going in this day and age. And it was shocking to me.
It is shocking. I want to point out, Jonathan Marco, with the Razor Law Firm, that you said blacks, that plural. This wasn't just on Mr. Hester. This was on anybody that had the wrong pigment in their skin.
That's correct. There was other gentlemen in the shop They did not have a lawsuit, and I think that was unfortunate. But they came to court, and they supported Mr. Hester, and they talked about their experiences. This was not limited to him. This was actually all over his department, and the evidence that showed all over the entire Department of Corrections.
Now, because I'm really trying not to be overly dramatic here, and so if you feel that I am, Jonathan, you know, I don't have a problem with you correcting me, but doesn't it make it, I mean, there's no excusable reason for treating somebody racially discriminating against anybody, period, but doesn't it make it a little more heinous, or maybe even a lot more heinous, that this is happening within the Michigan Department of Corrections of all places?
I think, you know, racism anywhere is wrong. There's no doubt about it, Tony. It needs to be stomped out. You know, we're past that. I think as a culture and a nation, we've made great strides in that. But to have it sanctioned by your own state, I mean, this is the kind of Jim Crow stuff, you know, that you hear about in the South. To have it sanctioned here in Detroit, Michigan, it was appalling to me and it was sickening to me. And I'll tell you what, it was one of the most gratifying days for me to have the jury come back and vindicate Mr. Hester's rights. And, you know, it's the best gift, I think, that could be given for the holidays. It was an emotional case.
All right. Well, Jonathan Marco, again, my guest. He is with the Razor Law Firm in Royal Oak. And it's, by the way, razorlawfirm.com, R-A-S-O-R, razorlawfirm.com. You know, Jonathan, I'd like you, before we get, and we've got to take a break in a minute, but I'd like you to get started, and then after the break we'll talk. And tell us a little bit about the jury trial and what that experience was like for you, because I would think that you've probably learned quite a bit on this case.
Yeah, you know, Tony, I'm white myself, and coming from that perspective, I try to empathize and understand what Mr. Hester's had to go through on a daily basis, but at the end of the day, I really can't put myself in his shoes. That was my biggest struggle throughout this case, was trying to understand what he went through and trying to get the jury. We had an all-white jury. This wasn't a case where, you know, we had a good mixture, a good diverse jury that represented the community, because it did. It was an all-white jury, but I think that they made the right decision and they were able to empathize, but it's very difficult to actually understand what he was going through.
Now, you say they made the right decision. What was that decision, Jonathan Marco?
They awarded $452,000 against the Department of Corrections based on the last couple of years. The worst part is they didn't get to hear everything. The judge kept a lot of things out. They only heard about 3 years of it when it was really going on for over 10. But I think that will send a message up to the warden's office that maybe the Michigan Department of Corrections and the warden will start listening to what's going on and All clean right. up their act.
All right, Jonathan, stay where you're at. We've got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with Jonathan Marco after this. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. How heinous the Michigan Department of Corrections is, and I applaud Michael Hester for having the courage, and I'll tell you, we'll talk to Jonathan about this when we come back, but to have the courage to go after his employers at the Michigan Department of Corrections of all places takes a lot of courage. A quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is State Representative Thomas Stallworth, the 7th Legislative District, and I just want to wish everyone a happy, happy holiday.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Due to a 5-car pileup, I-94 westbound has been closed between Little Mac Ave and Gratiot Ave. Traffic has stopped from North River Road, exit 237. Traffic can detour Little Mac southbound to 12 Mile Road westbound, back onto I-94 westbound. We also have slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between DeQuinder and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees. And it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truffiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truffiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truffiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest once again, Jonathan Marco. Jonathan is an attorney with the Razor Law Firm in Royal Oak. You're going to find them online at razorlawfirm.com. That's R-A-S-O-R. And I'm sure we've got it up on the Facebook page. Jonathan, okay if I give the phone number out?
Yeah, absolutely.
24... I got
okay,
it.
Go ahead,
I got it, man. I'm ready for you, Jonathan. 248-543-9000. That's 248-543-9000. We're talking about Michael Hester. And Mr. Hester is, by all measure, somebody with a hearty work ethic, somebody that believed in excellence on the job, was a trained mason, took a job with the Michigan Department of Corrections so he could better provide for his ailing wife when she passed. Well, it was sad, but he had done what he could do, only to be treated like a common piece of trash by his superiors with the MDOC. Not only is it Mr. Hester, but any African-American, or I shouldn't say all of them, because I wasn't there, so I don't know that to be a fact, but certainly many of them were treated in a racially insensitive way. And I'm trying to hold back a little bit here, Jonathan, because I'm just disgusted by this. You know, the one aspect we need to talk about, as you were doing your discovery, you know, you found out that there were some cover-up here, that, you know, people were not being honest and forthcoming.
Yeah, that's right, Tony. First of all, there was a lot of shading that's going on in this case. The personnel files did not contain information that was indicative of racial discrimination. Surprisingly, because anytime anybody's disciplined on anything or anything like that happens, they have it in the personnel file. It was suspiciously missing from anywhere. Secondly, as I started talking to these people, a lot of times for you and for the listeners, racial discrimination cases or discrimination cases of any kind are extremely difficult because most of the time people cover up. People are scared to lose their jobs. People justify it in some other way. What was surprising about this case is that as I talked to these guys in the room, they started talking. They started coming out. They started saying, we got a major problem here. I've been telling management about it. They haven't been doing anything. And there was a cover up in this case because I had probably eight people in the shop, and it's not a big shop, come forward and tell me that they went and talked to management about it, that they documented it. But when I went and talked to management, they said, oh, I don't remember anybody come to me. I don't remember any talks. And they tried to cover it up. And that was really what was appalling here is basically saying that, yeah, there's this racism going on, but we're going to sweep it under the rug and pretend like it's not.
Yeah, and that's disturbing on so many different levels. Now, we had to, for those that may be just joining us, you were successful in getting the jury to award $452,000 to Mr. Hester, and I guess the obvious question is, will the MD, Michigan Department of Corrections, at this point, are they planning to appeal that award?
Yeah, they've already made clear, and I think the words were something to the effect of, we'll tie this up for years. So before we even left the courtroom, they were already talking about appeal and what they're going to do. But I'm confident we will win on appeal. To be frank, we had a lot of tough rulings that I think were wrong, but that went against us. And what that does is it makes things tougher in the trial. But when you go up on appeal, there's really not much to reverse here, Tony. They made the right decision. We had witness after witness come into the courtroom. So, I mean, we are very confident, and we'll take it and we'll fight for Mike as long as we have to.
To your knowledge, Jonathan Marco, has the Michigan Department of Corrections, and more specifically, I don't want to indict the entire MDOC. We'll stick to the Ryan Correctional Facility for now. I'm going to be really lenient and just leave it with that for now. But, Jonathan, is there any evidence to suggest that they've stopped their racial ways?
No. In fact, that was one of the issues at trial that we weren't allowed to talk about. But the guys that I talked to said this stuff's still going on. It's not as blatant as it used to be, but it's still going on. The African-Americans are still the way they described it is, you know, the worst jobs in the prison, in the maintenance shop. Because this is a maintenance shop where these guys have to go and they're the maintenance men of the prison. You have plumbers, electricians, masons, like my guy, carpenters. But what my guy, you know, who's a journeyman mason, was getting stuck with was they were saying, go clean a toilet on a daily basis, jobs like that. And, you know, it's not, that hasn't stopped. And we weren't allowed to talk about it at trial, but it is still going on. And I do hope that as part of Mike's seeking justice, it wasn't about the money for him. It was about putting an end to this. Because at the end of the day, the sad thing is, him and every single other African-American in that shop have to get up, drive to work every day at a place where they know they're going to be treated differently than their counterparts just based on a pigment in their skin.
Is he still working there?
He is. And he can't. He told me, I said, Mike, why don't you quit? I said, look, you're putting up this. He said, I can't quit. I'm 62 years old. I got to support myself. I don't want to go on unemployment. I don't want to be a burden on the system. No one's going to hire me, John. At 62, I'm a mason, my bones creak, I'm old. He doesn't have a choice. That was the worst part for him, is he wants nothing more than to get out of there, but he can't. It's like forced. It reminds me of years, 100 years ago, and we shouldn't even go there, but that's what it feels like.
Now, sometimes you got to go there, Jonathan Marco. You know, and I hate to use the pun, but he's obviously in his own personal prison.
He is. On a daily basis, he is. And, you know, we had him evaluated. He's been diagnosed with psychiatric issues stemming directly from the abuse by the prison system. And he told me, you know, he testified at trial, you know, every day I drive up to the prison and I sigh and my stomach turns and every bone in my body wants to turn that car around, but I can't. And, you know, he's a diligent worker. Even the one thing is, even the managers, even the guys who covered up the racism came in and said, look, this is one of the hardest working guys I've ever known.
Well, obviously, the jury, the all-white jury, not only believed the case that you put in front of them and the testimonials or the testimony that Michael Hester had, but they certainly responded in the best way they could underneath the guidelines of the law. I don't quite understand, and unfortunately, we're just out of time, I don't quite understand why you can't introduce certain issues, but you're the lawyer, not me. I'm a radio host, so I'm sure there's fundamentally a good reason for it, Jonathan. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Tony, I'll be honest with you. It didn't make any sense to me, and it still doesn't make any sense to me now. And but, you know, it is what it is, and we're happy with the result, and we want to thank the people, you know, of Wayne County, this group who represented the entire county, that they did a good job, they did the right thing, and I think justice was done, and I'm very happy, and I know Mr. Hester's heart goes out, even though he's still stuck where he is, you know, this vindicated him.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan, we're out of time. My thoughts and prayers are with Mr. Hester. Jonathan Marco, thank you so much for your time. All their information is on the Facebook page. Jonathan, have a great holiday season.
Thanks, Tony. Happy holidays.
Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break here. Much more on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
I-94 westbound between Harper Ave and Gratiot Ave has been shut down due to a 5-car accident. We also have an overturned vehicle on the Lodge southbound at Telegraph Road. And slow-moving traffic I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees, and it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. 600 workers at 5 nursing home facilities in Connecticut who have been on strike more than 5 months have been reinstated by a federal judge in Hartford. WIN's Melinda Tuhus reports.
All right, guys, so we're going to have people from the other picket lines coming here throughout the day, okay? We're having a lot of politicians, a lot of community people tonight, okay? This is the time to show this company that we won, all right?
That was Jesse Martin, an organizer with the New England Healthcare Employees Union, District 1199, speaking to workers at Healthbridge's West River Nursing Home in Milford last Thursday morning. The company had locked out the workers at that site exactly 1 year before, and a planned candlelight vigil to mark the anniversary turned into a celebration instead. After 113 days, a judge ordered the company to end the lockout, and 2 months later, in mid-June, Healthbridge imposed its own contract. The company's offer froze pensions and raised workers' health insurance premiums by at least $6,000 more per year for family coverage. It also took back 6 paid sick days and a week's vacation for many employees. So workers at all 5 facilities walked out. On December 12th, federal judge Robert Schettini ruled that the company had refused to bargain in good faith and had imposed the cuts unilaterally. He ordered all the workers reinstated by Monday, December 17th. Noreen Gates, a 20-year employee who's the central supply coordinator, said the company underestimated the workers' determination.
When they locked us out last December, I think that they felt that they locked just West River out and not the others because they felt that we were the weakest link in the union. And it's kind of backfired in a way because this line is stronger than ever now.
Melinda Tuhus, Workers Independent News, Milford, Connecticut.
Clear Channel is turning off the broadcasting antenna at WDTW in Detroit, taking the Progressive Talk AM station dark at the end of December. This follows the end of Progressive Talk at KPOJ in Portland, Oregon, and at KFNQ in Seattle. Tony Truppiano hosts the daily First Shift pro-labor talk show on WDTW in Detroit. He knew after the passage of the anti-union so-called right-to-work legislation in Michigan that it would be harder to continue to rely on labor union sponsors to keep his show thriving. Truppiano is devastated by the decision, but told his listeners he hopes that they carry on their struggle for economic and social justice for working people.
I am heartbroken. I am devastated. I can't thank you enough for everything you have done to fight for the good people of the state of Michigan and in our communities. It is critical to me that no matter if I'm on the air or not, whether I'm leading you or not, that you continue to fight this fight that is so critical to restore some sanity as we move forward.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Truppiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning program. And, you know, we talked on Friday at great length about the while you were sleeping legislation, because there's lots of stuff that happened Thursday night into Friday morning while you were sleeping. In fact, somebody told me that they actually had to gavel out on Thursday night and then gavel back in just after midnight because there's something to do with legislative rules, which absolutely has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today. But part of that interesting array of new legislation that came down the pike that is waiting for the governor's signature would change the recall rules in the state of Michigan in a fairly profound way. We turn our attention now to Jeff Guilfoyle. Jeff is the president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan, and he joins us this morning to talk about that. Before, though, I actually officially welcome him. On their website, at the very top, there is a quote from Lent Upson, who is the first executive director of the Citizens Research Council. And I quote, "The right to criticize government is also an obligation to know what you're talking about." My, oh my, I wish I would have said it myself. Jeff, welcome to First Shift this morning. Hope you're well and happy holidays to you.
Yeah, good morning to you.
A great quote, by the way. That's just a great quote. The second I saw that, I went, yep. This is one that we print out and put up where we can see it every day, because I just love that. Jeff, tell us a little bit about the Citizens Research Council so the audience has an idea of what it is you folks do and how important that work is.
Sure. So we're a nonprofit. We're located in Michigan. We've been here since 1916, so over 90 years. We do state and local public policy research. We're strictly nonpartisan. We put all our information up on the website where you can download it for free, and we talk about the whole range of public policy issues in Michigan, from school finance to the state budget to what's going on with local governments.
And that's perfectly put. Now, as I said, this what we're going to talk about today is one of those while we were sleeping pieces of legislation. Man, oh, man, I would think for you guys, Jeff Guilfoyle, that when you woke up, although you probably didn't sleep Thursday night into Friday, but when you got to the other side of that marathon session, you had a lot of work to do.
There certainly was a lot of legislation that went through at the end of lame duck. I don't know that that's atypical. We often see a lot of stuff go through right at the 11th hour.
Yes, but so much stuff that really does have some significant impact, and certainly changing the rules on recall. And you got to understand, whether it's conspiracy theory or not, Jeff, those that are pro-recall, and not everybody is, I want to be mindful of that, are seeing this as the Republican, and I'm not trying to be partisan, I'm just trying to reflect what my audience says to me, that the Republicans are now rewriting the rules to make it harder for them to be recalled, I think we could probably make a case that there's some truth to that. So what actually does this legislation change? What does it change from the old legislation?
Well, you're absolutely right in the sense that the changes that were made, all of the changes do make it more difficult to recall an elected official. So what they did was, first, they reduced the amount of time that you're allowed to gather signatures to try and get a recall on the ballot. That went from 90 days to 60 days. Then it used to be that if you were recalling an elected official, the reason that you stated on your petition just needed to be clear, and they changed the law to say that now it needs to be clear and factual. So you have to establish that whatever allegation you're making in terms of recall is true. They reduced the number of elections where you could hold a recall election. So Michigan's got four regular election dates, February, May, August, and November, and now you can only hold the recall in May and November. For four-year office holders, now you can't recall them in the first or the last year of their term of office. It used to be you just couldn't recall the officials in their first 6 months and their last 6 months. And finally, the last thing they did was right now when you go to recall somebody, it's a simple up or down vote as to whether or not the official will be recalled. And instead now, if you're recalling somebody, it'll be an election. So the elected official will come up for recall and someone will have to run against them in the recall election. And that is seen as making it more difficult to recall somebody also.
Yeah, this is a mindful. There's no question about that, Jeff Guilfoyle, as we look at and these are, I would say, significant and radical changes from what was there before. And you know, at some level, and I want to repeat what I said, not everybody's on board with recalls. Even very rabid activists on either side of the aisle, not everybody is a big fan of recall efforts. So we need to be clear about that up front. But for those that see that as recourse, and we've seen the temperature go way up and the divisiveness in state government become quite prominent, Jeff. Those that saw recall as a redemptive tool, if the governor signs this, is obviously that they're going to have a much tougher time getting somebody on the ballot. And you know, you and I both know, especially if you have an elongated period before you can actually start to recall somebody, you know what? Everything kind of calms down, and even if you're real angry, by the time you get to the point where you can actually do it, finding those rabid people that were there at the beginning is not as easy as it sounds.
Right, so it's a little bit of a trade-off. You're right. That makes it a little bit harder to recall somebody. The flip side argument was that, you know, recalling somebody right as soon as they take office, you need to give them an opportunity to be in office for a little while before you subject them to a recall, and it was thought that you should give them at least a year. The other thing I'd note about recall is when we looked at this last year, Michigan does have, we tended to be a state that had a lot of recall elections compared to other states, but most of those recall, in fact, the vast majority of those recall elections are local elections. Over the last 10 years, we found that there were over 450 recall elections, but only two of those were at the state level.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Well, I find it fascinating that, especially the way it happened and when it happened, literally in the middle of the night. And there's, as I joked on Friday, the governor's going to have a sore wrist if he signs everything they put in front of him, from that Thursday into Friday. He does have his hands full. You know, Jeff, I really do want to encourage people. Let me give out the website address. It's crcmich.org. crcmich.org. And I truly, it's such a great resource. So we use it on the show here all the time because it does give us a very unbiased and accurate information as we take a look forward. You know, Jeff, I'll ask you to take your president of the CRC hat off for just a second and be a citizen. Man, there's got to be a way for us to find a way to start moving the state forward and stop the divisiveness and creating laws that or proposed legislation that automatically get people's ire up. I understand that we need recourse and recall is one path to that. But, man, it really would be nice if we started talking about solutions here eventually.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, we did see when we looked at the history of recall in Michigan over the last 10 years, it definitely seems to be on an upward trend with you know, more recall elections every election cycle, which is probably a symptom of the divisiveness. But I think it's also a symptom of the fact that Michigan has, you know, gone through this long economic struggle. And as a result of that, I think a lot of the decisions that need to be made by elected officials tend to be a lot more controversial. And like I say, we saw a lot of recall elections at the local level. And I think that, you know, there is, you know, a lot of local officials are grappling with some very difficult budgetary decisions. And so that, I think that's been pushing the recalls a little bit. Now, when we looked at it, only about a third of the recall elections were related to financial matters, but, you know, where someone had taken a vote on a cut that somebody didn't like or something like that. But still, I think that that pressure of the struggling state has been contributing to it.
No, there's no question that's true. And, you know, we also live with that fast food mentality, which is I want it now. And a lot of this stuff, Jeff, let's be honest about it. Economically, we still haven't turned around enough in the state of Michigan to see the kind of wholesale positive shift that we are hoping for economically for middle class families, etc. But we also know, rationally know, that it you don't just flip a switch and turn around what has been an economic downturn now for a number of years. You have to slowly build back up. I wish it weren't that way, but it is. And so sometimes people's frustration and this idea that a recall is going to solve that is, well, frankly, unfounded. Not that there aren't reasons for recall, and there are some that say, well, it should only be for criminal or whatever their criteria is, Jeff Guilfoyle. At the end of the day, you know, maybe it's not a bad thing that they've changed the rules. It creates deliberation, if nothing else. It creates a definitive slowdown. Take a look at this before you move forward. And I'm not so sure that's a bad thing.
Right. I mean, so the controversy is, you know, does recall make your elected officials afraid to make difficult decisions because they're worried about being recalled? Or is it just a flip of that where it makes them very sensitive to what their constituents want because they know that if they go against their constituents, they can get pulled back? And there really are arguments on both sides of that issue, I think. And I think that's why recall has been somewhat controversial. Now, in a lot of states, you can only recall somebody for cause. And then, you know, so you have to have incompetence or neglect of duty or public drunkenness or something. Whereas in Michigan, it's a political question. So you can recall somebody if they vote in a way that you don't like, which is not something a lot of states do. And that contributes to the number of recall elections we have here.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for being with us today. You explained that perfectly. We will see what the governor does and then the reaction to that. Jeff Guilfoyle with the Citizens Research Council. Again, you'll find them online at crcmich.org. Jeff, thanks so much and have a happy holiday.
You too.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be open lines on the other side. Give us a call now, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. I want to wish everybody on First Shift Radio a joyous and happy holiday and a happy new year. Look forward to 2013.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid
Foods stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
It just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1%er sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page or call us now 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now back to the show and Tony.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock, coming up just after the top of the hour, Jessica Trey Montana will be with us. We're hoping to punch in with Brandon Jessup from Michigan Forward as well in the next hour. I had posted an article on Facebook, and I only post a couple. I had a busy day yesterday. And the article was titled "Michigan Effort Shows GOP Sway in State Contests." Now, you know, there are two parallel universes here. One of them is Democrats as a whole did extremely well. Mark Brewer said on the show yesterday that President Obama ended up winning the national election by almost 5 percentage points, which is basically what he won the first race margin. So that's interesting in and of itself. In the state of Michigan, President Obama ended up with 9.5% of the vote over Mitt Romney. And so it begs the question, how are Republicans continuing to do so well and curry favor, if you will, if they can't seem to win the big prize? It's a perfectly legitimate question. The answer actually is a whole lot simpler than you realize. And it actually makes sense. I go back to those three words, follow the money. You know, the worst part about this, we were just having shirts and hoodies made, and we had to stop that, and we were ready to go, and hopefully we can revive this. But follow the money on this. The GOP, and when I say the GOP, I'm now referencing, because I always like to define who I mean, I'm now referencing the legislative Republicans and the wealthy people that write the checks that make them electable, okay? When we take a look at where that money goes, and then we take a look at those legislators and how they vote on issues that matter to the wealthiest in this state, and I'm just sticking with Michigan for right now, there's a direct correlation between who the wealthy are, who they write checks to, and who gets elected, and then, by extension, the policies that they end up introducing at the state level, and bada boom, bada bing, all of a sudden we got a law that makes no sense to Democrats that Republicans love. That's because, and I got to tell you, there's a little brilliance to this strategy. Instead of saying, and I'm talking about the people that write the checks, listen, we need to just go out and reinvent the Republican Party. We need to refocus and reshift everything we do. We need to make sure that our efforts are doubled or tripled in this part of the country and that kind of thing. No, none of that. What they said was let's elect Republicans to key positions within a state structure. So whether that's in the House or the Senate or the governorship or Attorney General or Secretary of State or Supreme Court. Oh, we did all of those in here in Michigan. Not everywhere, but we did do all of those here in Michigan. They then can take those constituencies because lawmakers are actually a constituency of the wealthy. I think you're aware of that. And when we talked with Lisa Graves the other day from the American Legislative Exchange Council, well, she's not from there, but when she was talking about the American Legislative Exchange Council, she talked about corporate personhood having a vote at these meetings. And so that captains of big business are sitting down with lawmakers and they're equally deciding what passes, what doesn't, what gets introduced, what doesn't. That's not democracy, by the way. Don't fool yourself into thinking it is. Now, I bring this up for a reason, because their money does buy influence. Follow the money. It buys influence. So instead of worrying about how do we elect a president that's Republican or how do we elect this that's Republican? Let's stay at the state level. Let's influence state elections. Let's fund candidates that can get elected that will be then beholden to us so that we can say, yeah, but I got you elected. You wanted the $90,000 a year job. Here you go. You got it. You've got power, even if it's perceived power. You've got power. But you're going to do this our way. You don't think that happens? You really don't pay attention if you don't think that happens. And it does. It happens every day. And I'm not even saying this is unique to Republicans. They just happen to be in charge right now. And they seem to be abusing the bejesus out of that. No question about it. But that's, again, where the brilliance is in this. It didn't have to be about the presidency. It didn't have to be about cabinet level this or Supreme Court level that. If they can capture the state legislatures around the country, as they're already doing, then they get to win, as they are now, especially here in the state of Michigan. It has been a week today, since we had the big rally at the state capitol. A week today. And are you as passionate on these issues today as you were a week ago? And don't lie to me now. Are you as passionate today as you were a week ago? Are you as energized or excited? Now, some of you would be lying to say yes, because you don't maintain that level of ferocious, and I mean that in a positive way, energy at that level and carry it for a week without, you know, taking a nap or dialing it down a bit. Of course you will. But are you as passionate on right to work, on workers' rights, on anti-discrimination, on the anti-women movement? Are you empowered still to the idea that you have a choice in what happens, that you have a voice in what happens? Do you still believe that as you did a week ago? You should, but do you? And that has always been my concern with any issue. When you strike when the iron's hot, it's easy to get people to follow you. You know that. Okay, there's a little psychology involved in this. So yes, I mean, we just did the story about Michael Hester being racially discriminated against his job. Of course we feel for him. Unless, of course, you don't have a heart. And I'm waiting for somebody to either write me or post on Facebook or some other asinine thing. Well, he could have just quit his job and found something else. That's not the way it works, and you all know it. Well, maybe he was just being too sensitive. No, when it's racial discrimination and a jury of all white people do what they did, which was to award him $452,000, chances are they made a pretty compelling case for racial discrimination. I just find it interesting. Sad, but interesting. The gun battle that's going on right now. There are still people on that damn Facebook page of mine, the First Shift Facebook page, right now. Go find it and read all of the gun posts and how those on the right are defending their skewed and dysfunctional point of view on the Second Amendment. It scares me that these people have children. Scares the bejesus out of me. Some people shouldn't procreate. Let's take a quick break for the top of the hour. Jessica Tremontana on the other side. This is First Shift. NBC News coming up at the top of the hour. We'll take that break here. First Shift continues right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
I-94 westbound between Harper Ave and Gratiot Ave has been shut down due to a 5-car accident. We also have an overturned vehicle on the Lodge southbound at Telegraph Road. And slow-moving traffic I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees. And it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Out of Syria after five harrowing days, NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel and his crew freed from Syrian kidnappers after a firefight at a checkpoint.
They kept us blindfolded, bound. We weren't physically beaten or tortured. It was a lot of psychological torture, threats of being killed.
Correspondent Engel and crew unharmed and safely out of Syria. Another funeral and several wakes today in Newtown, Connecticut, following Friday's shootings that killed 20 children and 6 adults. Governor Daniel Malloy says the town faces a hard road back.
You try to find some words that you hope will be adequate, knowing that they'll be inadequate, and you see little coffins and your heart has to ache.
Classes resume today for most Newtown students. Wall Street back on the plus side on hopes of a thaw in those fiscal cliff budget talks. A new proposal by President Obama sparking yesterday's 100-point surge. Stock futures higher this morning. This is NBC News Radio. The massacre in Newtown rekindling the debate over gun rights and whether military-style assault weapons with oversized ammo clips should be banned. Virginia Senator Mark Warner.
I'm father of three daughters, and this weekend they all said, Dad, you know, how can this go on? I think most of us realize that there are ways to get to rational gun control.
Are we backing away from the cliff? Speaker Boehner submits President Obama's latest budget offer to the House this morning. NBC's Chuck Todd.
Today's going to be a big day because the rank and file of both the Democrats in the House and the Republicans in the House get more details about these various counteroffers.
The president's proposal reportedly hikes taxes for incomes over $400,000. And you may have known it all along, but science now confirms it. Stress is on the rise. Long-term studies show stress has increased 18% for women, 24% for men over the past 30 years. The good news, stress levels decrease as you get older. We're older and calmer. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
Why is a Home Depot gift card the perfect stocking stuffer? Well, a new deck won't fit under the tree, at least not the Christmas tree. And a bathroom update is so hard to wrap. But choose any gift card from the Home Depot's creative collection, and it can be whatever any doer on your list wants it to be. Give the gift of doing this year with a little pocket-sized power. A gift card from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Prepare for winter driving. Top off or flush and refill your cooling system with O'Reilly Universal Premixed Antifreeze on sale for $8.99 a gallon. Protect your cooling system with O'Reilly Universal Premixed Antifreeze, $8.99 a gallon at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The embarrassing and ultimately costly recall issues Toyota has suffered are still costing the company. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is ordering Toyota to pay more than $17 million in civil penalties, saying it was too slow to report safety defects to the government and thus violated federal law. The latest issue involved Lexus floor mats that could catch onto foot pedals. A big deal this morning affecting the broadcasting business. Nielsen, the company best known for measuring the size of TV audiences, announces it will acquire Arbitron, the company best known for measuring the size of radio audiences. The deal values Arbitron at $1.25 billion. That's a 26% premium above its stock price as of yesterday. Acquisition announcements have a way of perking up the market, and right now we're seeing stock futures extend their early gains, first realized after signs both signs in fiscal cliff talks are now signaling compromise. S&P futures right now gaining 5 points, NASDAQ futures up 16. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
As many as 7.5 million Americans have psoriasis, and many of them suffer in silence, hiding their itching, flaking, and discomfort. If you're living with psoriasis, your new life begins now when you call for a risk-free trial of SebaClear. SebaClear provides fast, topical relief of skin psoriasis. SebaClear helps to stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by your psoriasis. Even if you've tried everything else, even if you've suffered for years, imagine living without discomfort and embarrassment and without wearing long clothes to hide your psoriasis. We're so confident you'll love your skin after using SebaClear that we're offering it risk-free. But you have to call now.
Call 1-800-469-4831. That's 1-800-469-4831. Try SebaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-469-4831. That's 1-800-469-4831.
Dear Honda, thanks for giving my boyfriend Jake a great deal during your Happy Honda Day sales event. He said it's the perfect time to get a new Civic. It could be because the dealers are giving great deals on new Civics, but I think it means he's ready to pop the question. Plus, with the money he saved, I'm thinking giant rock. Love, Shelley Evans, Nay Brown.
More happiness with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Now's the time to get a great deal like 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on the 2012 Civic. Visit your Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
If you needed a brain transplant, would you go to the second best brain surgeon? No, you'd go with number one. Well, it's exactly the same with printer ink. Yeah, sort of. See, Staples is the number one ink retailer in America. And right now, get a $15 iTunes gift card instantly when you spend $75 or more on ink at Staples. It's a no-brainer. Staples, that was easy.
In-store only, ends 12/24/12. Gift cards not returnable. Returned ink refund amount reduced by gift card value. Excludes Epson inks, subject to availability while supplies last. No rain checks, limit to Apple not participate.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, December 18th, 2012. Well, there's no question Senate Bill 59 is getting a lot of attention, especially in light of what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, as should be the case. I have to tell you, the good puppy in all this, ironically enough, in some very unusual ways, has been the National Rifle Association, or the NRA, the pro gun lobby that always dominates the discussion. Well, they're not dominating the discussion except for maybe their inherent silence on what's going on right now. And I guess we can interpret that in a lot of different ways, and you'll make up your own mind as to what that truly means. With that said, we've got a lot to get to in this hour, and we're going to do it right now. Let's get to the intro and let's get this going.
Providing a credible voice to grassroots organizations while holding public officials accountable and proving time and time again that you can't stop progress.
There are two different sets of bills that are cutting their way through the House. The first was introduced in Tax Policy Committee by Representatives Lyons and Gilbert. And essentially, these bills would give a tax credit to fetuses. They argue that this is to help with offset the cost of medical bills and for a woman's well pregnancy. But it's offensive.
First Shift
proudly welcomes Progress Michigan to your show.
And more specifically, Communications Director of Progress Michigan, Jessica Tremontana. Jessica, happy holidays to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Happy holidays, Tony, and I just want to say, you know, thanks for your continued support. I think you're doing a really, really important thing, and, you know, we're going to miss you.
Well, you know, we may not be going away forever, maybe just a little break. We're working on that, Jess, but I appreciate your kind remarks. I do want to get into, you had released a statement, you personally, through Progress Michigan, released a statement just after the Newtown, Connecticut shootings on Friday, which was both very touching and came with a little admonition for the governor to veto Senate Bill 59. For those that don't know what Senate Bill 59 is, can you fill us in quickly?
Sure. Senate Bill 59 allows permitted gun carriers who are licensed to carry guns into schools, into sports arenas, to this is basically gun-free zones, and it would be changing that and allowing guns into those areas. So daycares is another one. You know, I find it really difficult as a mother to determine the circumstance, even in the wake of what happened in Connecticut, to justify people bringing guns into schools.
Well, and by the way, don't worry about the dog. It's live radio, and we're real people, Jessica. So I'm not concerned about it. So I don't want you to, because I can just see you looking for John, going, "Shut that dog up! Don't worry about it." You know, it's interesting. As you know, Ari Adler, who is the spokesperson for Jace Bolger, the Speaker of the House, released on the Facebook a statement that was heinous at best just a couple hours after the shooting. Now, they did take it down, but I think they took it down over peer pressure, if nothing else. They didn't seem to be too concerned about sensitivity when they put it up. You know, we don't have
no.
to. Go ahead.
No, it was, I mean, it was really in poor taste, and it was offensive. And I'm not sure if you saw the New York Times actually cited, quote-unquote, the most insensitive comments following the tragedy in Connecticut, and they cited specifically that statement on, you know, the House Republicans' Facebook page.
Absolutely. I want to, and bear with us, I want to go to some audio that that we have. The guys, I want the piece that is pressure on Rick Snyder to over the new gun legislation from WXYZ. Play that, please.
After the horrific violence in Newtown, how and where guns are carried in Michigan is once again under the microscope. Last week, the Republican-controlled legislature pushed through new gun laws that make it legal to carry concealed weapons in places like churches and schools.
There's a big misunderstanding about this legislation.
GOP State Senator Rick Jones says under the new proposed legislation, open carry is limited.
Currently, right now, there are no gun-free zones in Michigan. Everybody thinks there are, but that's actually not the law. Under open carry, somebody can put on a gun just like a cowboy in the Old West and walk into any gun-free zone.
But in the new bill, there is no specific ban for concealed weapons being brought to schools. Jones says schools can opt out, though, with no trespassing signs. But critics question why there is no ban in the bill itself.
Why not just write a ban into the bill?
And I had the bill. I may have considered that, but it's tough for me to speak for what the sponsor and how they progressed through the process. I know that they were working with the governor's office and the state police and trying to come up with the best compromise.
Democrats are slamming Republicans for pushing this through.
I do believe that schools are supposed to be a safe place for kids, and you know, others will argue that, well, you know, if you had guns around, that you may not have issues that like this that would have happened. But I believe that it would have made it worse if you did. But it's hard to believe that it could get much worse. But I think if you had a lot of people shooting at each other, it would be terrible. But either way, I think that schools ought to be off limits when it comes to this, and which is why I didn't support the bill.
And tonight, the governor is still not saying whether or not he will sign this new bill into law. So far, he says he's taking a very careful look at it. Live in Detroit, I'm Tom Waits, 7 Action News.
All right, we want to thank WXYZ. You know, Jessica, I could go in a million different directions with this, but this idea that, and somebody posted it to my Facebook page, had that principal had a gun, chances are none of this would happen. What the hell are these people thinking?
You know, I have no idea, and I really don't understand this vigilante justice and going back to the days of the Wild Wild West. A lot of people say, you know, this is a constitutional thing. Our forefathers put this into the Constitution, the right to bear arms. That was so outdated. I mean, that was when people were carrying muskets and needed to shoot their dinner. I really think it's time for us to evolve and for, you know, different rules to evolve as well. Like, for instance, semi-automatic weapons. I mean, really, is that necessary? What do you need that for? That's not for hunting. Really overdone.
Yeah, very, very much overdone. And then yesterday, my outrage when I heard former presidential candidate and you know them talk show host Mike Huckabee say that the reason this happened is because, frankly, when we uninvited God into our schools, well, that's just opened this all up to corruption at every level, and that evil things happen when you exclude God.
That's so appalling, and that's offensive, especially to the victims. I mean, these families are grappling with, I can't even fathom the type of sorrow and heartache that they're dealing with. For someone to say something like that is truly insensitive.
Well, it is amazing. Of course, we've also had shootings in churches in the last few years, so it begs the question, do they also uninvite God into the church? I don't remember that happening, but we'll let that go for now. Just gets interesting as I'm looking at headlines this morning, and I'm paying a lot of attention to this story, as you would expect I would. One of the things that's happening, and this happened actually after the election of Barack Obama in 2008, gun sales went through the roof because them damn Democrats are going to take our guns away from us. Well, what's happened this week? Gun sales are semi-automatic and automatic weapon gun sales are going through the roof. I just don't know what people are thinking.
I really don't either. And, you know, I'm not sure if you saw the AP story by Jeff Carew, but it was really interesting. And I really hope, let me back up a little bit. It basically said he spoke with Governor Snyder, and Governor Snyder told Jeff Carew that he had an incident of violence when he was in law school at U of M. He was an RA, so he was basically in charge of the floor, and someone broke into the dorm and I think shot two people, I want to say. I'm not sure, you know, whether or not they made it or not, but basically, he was saying that violence has touched his life. So he's taking a step back and really thinking about whether or not to sign this legislation. I really would call the governor to veto this legislation. He knows firsthand violence. I mean, this happened in 81. Then why would he, you know, even potentially put more families in Michigan through that?
Well, these are, again, all excellent questions. And if for anybody to think that we could add the conversation here, think again, we're going to, we've got to take a break here in just a minute or a little over a minute or so. But Jessica, the reaction from all over the place, Congressman Gohmert from Texas yesterday, again, one of those people that says we need to get more guns out into the public because that deters crime. You know, somebody actually suggested that in the Aurora, Colorado shootings, had somebody had a gun there, we wouldn't have seen the destruction that we did. Where's the guarantee that there wouldn't have been more deaths? And this idea that by continuing to arm the citizen militia, if you will, it somehow makes our society safer. And then it ignores something that we talked about in great detail yesterday, Jess, and that was the idea of mental illness and how we're not dealing with mental illness in our society. This is not just about guns.
Absolutely. I think this is a multifaceted issue. For anyone that thinks it's just a one-issue topic, they're wrong. And I absolutely think we need to have a conversation about, you know, coping with mental illness. I'm not sure if you saw the New York Times, but there was a mother who wrote about, you know, she understands the teacher that died. It was her son that was the shooter. She said, you know, that's my son. You know, he also has mental illness. We're grappling with it. The system is failing us. So I think she brought up some really valid points.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here. Jessica Tremontana, my guest, she is the communications director at Progress Michigan. You're going to find them online at progressmichigan.org. We do want to thank them for keeping us warm last Tuesday because it was cold outside at the state capitol. Folks, don't forget, as I do, it's simple, $25 a month, whatever you can afford, but that recurring gift makes a difference. If you got it, give them a Christmas gift. Let's take a quick break. If you'd like to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. First Shift continues right after this.
Hi, this is Zach with Progress Michigan, wishing all the First Shift listeners a happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
I-94 westbound between Harper Ave and Gratiot Ave is still closed due to a five-car accident. We also have an accident blocking your right two lanes on the Lodge southbound at Telegraph Road. And slow-moving traffic I-96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees. And it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310
WDTW.
The end of this story before the real reporting even began. I knew the ending of this story because we've all seen it too often. I knew that day that the ideologies of my past career were no longer relevant to the future that I want, that I demand for my children. Friday changed everything. It must change everything. We all must begin anew and demand that Washington's old way of doing business is no longer acceptable. Entertainment moguls don't have an absolute right to glorify murder while spreading mayhem in young minds across America. And our Bill of Rights does not guarantee gun manufacturers the absolute right to sell military-styled, high-caliber, semi-automatic combat assault rifles with high-capacity magazines to whoever the hell they want. It is time for Congress to put children before deadly dogmas.
That is Joe Scarborough, former Republican congressman and current host of Morning Joe, heard on MSNBC. And I thought, Jessica Tremontana, that it was important that we hear that sound bite this morning, because it is time for a different dialogue.
It really is. You know, I, as Joe Scarborough said, why are there high assault rifle, semi-automatic weapons? There's absolutely no need for that. And again, when our forefathers put in the Constitution the right to bear arms, I hardly thought that they had the vision in the future that weapons of that mass destruction would ever be invented or even on the radar.
You know, Jessica, and man, I really kind of didn't want to go here. So if I offend you, I apologize.
That's fine.
You have a daughter.
And
I'm not trying to put that image in your head. I truly am not. I have three sons. I think that maybe parents take this a whole lot differently than people that aren't parents. Not that people that aren't parents don't understand the gravity of this, but I struggled yesterday with the right adjectives. I don't know that we can truly scratch the surface with words as to how profound this loss is and how important it is that whatever the dialogue is moving forward is focused on nothing but solution. We can't worry about lobbies. In fact, I think this president needs to invite the NRA to the table. I think he needs to tell them once and for all that we will honor our Second Amendment, but we have to stop pretending that every gun manufactured for whatever reason is an acceptable and appropriate gun for our streets and our citizens, because they're just not, Jess.
They're really not. And you know what? I can't, again, even begin to fathom what the parents are going through. Like, when I send my daughter off to daycare or when you sent your kids off to school, you thought that they were safe. And, you know, it's really sad that schools have become a part of the conversation, whether or not our kids are protected. And I think you're absolutely right. I think we need to take action. And I would encourage everyone that's listening to call Governor Snyder. Tell him that Senate Bill 59 is a bad idea. Bringing additional guns to battle other guns, to battle more guns, is not the solution.
Wow, and it's not the solution, and now the phones start ringing. I don't even know if that's good or bad. Let's go to the phones and take a couple calls, Simon. I'm just being honest, before we have to get out of here. Let's welcome Jim in Sumter Township. Jim, happy holidays to you. You're on the air with Jessica Tremontana from Progress, Michigan.
Hi, happy holidays to you, Tony. You know, I'm a gun guy. And I've been encouraged listening to the conversation on your show and elsewhere that maybe, hopefully, people will discuss these things. And like you mentioned, the NRA so far has been silent, and maybe that's their best option right now is not say anything officially. But I think as a gun owner, and I own some of the stuff that, so help me God, resembles the stuff that was found there at that school. Gun owners need to step up and start offering solutions. It's not enough for gun owners to say, no, you're not going to take mine away. No, that won't work. 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 And to offer real solutions. And at the same time, I hope folks that just don't own guns, and, you know, one of the things I do is just chair this Democratic caucus of gun owners that explains gun things to non-gun owners. I hope folks just understand that we're not knuckle-dragging Neanderthal militia types that want to that have bad intent at every move, that you know, this is a sport, this is something that we enjoy doing, but, you know, offering a solution And I'm willing to do that. We have gun restrictions. You don't get to own an automatic weapon in this country. And start moving towards something that makes sense.
Well, I don't disagree. And Jim, thank you for your call. By the way, that's my friend Jim Peterson, who I believe you know, Jessica. Let me tell you, I heard a great dialogue, Jess, on the radio on my way home from an event last night. About gun enthusiasts, and here's the difference. There are people that are into antique guns. There are people that are into different kinds of guns. There are hunters. There are, for a lot of people, Jessica, this is about skeet shooting, or it's about the social aspect of having an interest in guns. I've got no problem with any of that. I have no problem with somebody wanting to carry. No problem with that. We don't need the kind of guns this young man had with him that shoots 6 bullets a second. We don't need it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that gentleman really brings up an interesting point. You know, I really think gun owners should be part of this conversation and part of the solution. We keep talking about what would work, what not, and I think their perspective is really important.
Absolutely. Let's go to Mark and Warren. We're going to try to get all these calls in before we have to let Jessica go. Mark, you're on the air. Thanks for calling this morning.
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Mr. Montano. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, first of all, I am in support of guns. I think one of the problems is policy. One of the issues that arose in this situation was mental health. And to me, it's typical policy from the right. You know, they want to defund abortion, but when the kids do come, they don't want to pay and take care of them. When, you know, we have health issues, we don't want to fund anything that takes care of the mental health issues. We want kids to go to college, but we don't want to fund education. So to me, it's a bigger issue. I think that the founding fathers knew exactly what they were doing when they put that amendment in, and I think that high-power rifles do have a place because, you know, with emergency financial managers and so forth, to me, government is outstepping its boundaries.
And I think you've just outstepped a little bit of your boundaries there, Mark. I'll be honest with you. I just can't embrace what you just said, and just I can't imagine you can either.
Unfortunately, I have to disagree. You know, I think that you could argue government is overstepping its boundaries. However, I don't think having, you know, high-powered assault rifles is necessarily the answer to that overstepping.
Absolutely. We're just out of time. Greg, sorry we couldn't get to your call. Jess, thank you so much. My love to you and John and to Zach and the Progress Michigan staff. And I will continue to support you as long as I can. And hopefully we'll be back on the air soon enough.
I hope so, Tony. I think we're in your corner.
I know you are. Thank you so much. Jessica Tremontana, the Communications Director at Progress Michigan, progressmichigan.org. Brandon Jessup from Michigan Forward, when we continue.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Traffic is heating up this morning. We still have that closure on I-94 westbound between Little Mac Ave and Gratiot Ave. And the accident blocking your right 2 lanes on the Lodge southbound at Telegraph Road is still ongoing. Stop and go traffic from Inkster Road. And some new accidents, 10 Mile Road east of Ryan Road. We have an accident there. And an accident blocks your left shoulder, I-275 southbound at 9 Mile Road. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees. And it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels,
anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
After saddling Hostess Brands with nearly $1 billion in debt, engaging in years of gross mismanagement, plunging the sugary snack maker into bankruptcy, and eliminating the middle-class jobs of some 18,000 Americans, shouldn't the owners and top executives at least have to say we're sorry and do some sort of penance? Of course they should. But don't hold your breath waiting for common ethics to flower in Hostess headquarters. After all, this is corporate world, a laissez-faire land where failure at the top is not punished but magically rewarded. Thus, the maker of Twinkies, Ho-Hos, Ding-Dongs, and Devil Dogs has announced that 19 of the executives who made a mess of Hostess are now to be given $1.8 million in bonuses on top of sweet pay raises they'd already grabbed. The bonuses were described as incentive pay to keep these geniuses on the job as they oversee the firing of all those workers. However, CEO Gregory Rayburn will not get a bonus, but shed no tears for him, since he's currently being paid $125,000 a month to dismantle the corporation. Also, while Lord Gregory has imposed a company-wide pay cut on management employees, he generously exempted himself from the hit. Talk about a devil dog. But wait, there's more. Not satisfied with killing the jobs of 18,000 workers, Hostess Honchos also looted money that, by contract, was supposed to go into the workers' pension funds. As the company was sinking toward bankruptcy, the ding-dongs in the executive suite, who, remember, were giving themselves pay raises at the time, were secretly diverting worker pension money into corporate operations in a stopgap ploy to keep Hostess afloat and to disguise their incompetence. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget doing penance. These guys ought to be doing 10 to 20 in prison for grand larceny.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. I'm going to turn my attention now to somebody that I have a great deal of respect for. I want you to understand that at one point, with the help of AFSCME Council 25, Brandon Jessup was the fight against Public Act 4. He was the fight. Now, listen, he didn't do this alone, but he single-handedly built a grassroots coalition. And you could look at every other thing that was on the ballot on November 6th. Had millions upon millions of dollars and thousands upon thousands of people, both pro and con, on any one of these issues. And the only one we won was the one that was begun and fought for by my next guest. Joining us now from Michigan Forward is my good friend Brandon Jessup. Brandon, happy holidays to you, and thanks for taking some time out of your busy travel schedule to speak with us this morning.
No problem, Tony. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing quite well. Couple things I want to get to. I certainly have to start with the new emergency manager law that is sitting on the governor's desk waiting for a signature. Some have called it the four poison pill option. You get to decide by what manner you want to kill your city. Your thoughts?
First, Tony, I want to make sure I say happy holidays to you, Doc. You know, you always want to make sure your friends are well, you know, in this time of the year. On the Governor Snyder, I got to say, 2 weeks ago, Monday before last, we sat down, Stand Up for Democracy Coalition, we sat down with the governor and some of his top staff and aides, and we talked about our 8 points to real progress and recovery and reinvestment in Michigan's municipalities. And, you know, our suggestions were kind of lukewarm as far as how the governor received them. And to watch them go forward with the same old leftovers from Public Act 4. It's a slap in the face to the 2.3 million voters that said no to the emergency manager law. It's a slap in the face to the 2 years that organizers like myself, you, and thousands of others spent to make sure democracy meant something in Michigan. So to see the governor turn around and totally disregard, one, the fact that we had begun negotiations, and two, to choose politics over a better economy for millions of Michiganders, that says a lot about the governor. It says a lot about our legislature. And they don't have a real concern about how Michigan does better. They're more concerned about how they end up at the end of the day and how fat their pockets are.
You know, it's interesting, and just for a little recent history, historical perspective, if you will, you'd left Michigan Forward for a short period of time, took a leave of absence to work for Obama for America, and now you've come back to Michigan Forward, which was always the plan. But you now have a very interesting perspective because you worked on a presidential campaign where you saw massive amounts of people voting for a more progressive view of what they want America to look like. You were literally in the middle of this fight, Brandon, in a very uncommon way. To turn around and see the Republicans in Michigan ignore that mandate has to be a little frustrating for you.
Oh, it's absolutely frustrating. It's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for the thousands of volunteers that we had. I can't tell you how many phone calls I've handled over the last week. I stood out there with you, Tony, last week with 17,000 other middle-class, working-class families to stop the trampling of democracy to make sure that workers had collective bargaining rights in Michigan. Then afterwards, the night after, to hear that our state house, you know, passed these bills at the end of the night, Senate Bill 865 specifically, the new emergency manager law, it's spelled up retaliation. You know, these are the same guys we hear about Ron Wise and his comments on Sunday that were released Sunday in the Free Press. Those were surprising to me because that was the attitude of the Republican Party in Michigan in regards to Michigan urban vote for a very long time. I grew up hearing people say those types of things about my dad and his voting record. He hasn't missed an election since 1964. You know, so the attitudes didn't surprise me, but seeing how the progressive community is organizing and mobilizing, you know, very different voices, diverse coalitions being built out of nowhere, that's what America is doing, and I think we want to keep doing that. And as we start looking at 2013 and 2014, those same progressive groups, teachers, women, you know, people of color, working-class folks all across the state of Michigan will be moving more progressive public policy.
Let's turn our focus a little bit toward voter suppression. We know that there has been an effort by Ruth Johnson, our Republican Secretary of State, to ban people. One of the things that, and I keep on calling it while you were sleeping legislation, one of the pieces of while you were sleeping legislation last Thursday night into Friday morning, again, reintroduces more voter suppression. I know that you want more transparency. I know Michigan Forward is calling for a more open way, same-day voter registration, making sure that there is a simpler path and making voting more accessible. And I would imagine that that's a fight you're going to take on fairly aggressively.
Absolutely, Tony. I mean, that's a fight we have to take on. You know, it's funny to see Ruth Johnson try to, you know, add the same voter suppression tactics that she just went to court for and was sued by the Department of Justice in September. But once again, this Republican Party in Michigan does not care about the rights of all. Liberty is a concept very foreign to them. And you're absolutely correct. 2013, 2014, Michigan Forward, and also we're looking at a new coalition called the Michigan People's Caucus. We're going to start having teach-ins across the state on the right to work, well, what's wrong for Michigan. We're going to talk about the emergency manager law, and then we're going to talk about same-day registration and early voting. You saw it in Detroit. We had hundreds of thousands of people turn out and vote early so then they can make sure that their voice is heard. And then on Election Day, you saw people stand until 10 o'clock at night just to vote. Well, you know, we should make that process easier for all of us. I mean, whenever we can look at 3-4 million people voting, 5 million people voting in the state of Michigan, that should be a great day. Unfortunately, Ruth Johnson wants to call Election Day a short day off, a short day at work for her, and she wants to count as few votes as possible and wants to keep the thought process that people of color and minorities and poor people commit voter fraud, and seniors don't know how to read their ballots. Well, I want to make sure, and Tony, you know this as well, that our seniors are the people who built our democracy. We shouldn't try to build any other barriers to those people who served as our greatest generation. It's once again shame on the Republican Party for erecting so many roadblocks to democracy and freedom.
Yeah, and I continue to be very, very concerned about the racial component to this, because they can color it, no pun intended, any way they want. They can slant this any way they want. But what they don't do is a good job of explaining why their way is a better way. And the only thing that we ever get out of them is we're just trying to purge the voting rolls to make sure that the right people are on them. Well, okay, that's fine. But there are a lot of ways to do that correctly, and they never seem to explore those ways, Brandon Jessup.
Absolutely not. You know what? We all use technology every day. And matter of fact, it was technology that made sure that President Obama was reelected in 2012. So I suggest to our governor that we implement more technology into our electoral process. It makes no sense that the city of Detroit has to beg, borrow, and steal, literally almost in some cases, for laptops to use as poll books. There are counties in Michigan that have no electronic means to count their votes, to process voter registrations faster, things of that nature. And, you know, why not? Why are we taking these steps to turn back 50, 60 years on the clock just so we can restrict millions of people to vote? What I suggest wholeheartedly is that Governor Snyder and really our progressive movement takes on democracy full on, and we protect voting rights for all people across this country. Until we do that, we're going to continue to hear these crazy notions of voter suppression and voter fraud.
How do people, I'm sorry, Brandon, how do people, we're almost out of time, how do people get involved with Michigan Forward and stay connected to your efforts so that they can get active?
Yeah, and anybody can come on and get involved with Michigan Forward. To sign on online, michiganforward.org, that's michiganforward.org, and also, anybody who's come out to the presidential inauguration, Tony, I want to make sure that I announce today that I'm a member of the Presidential Inauguration Committee for 2013. So that's why I'm here in the airport, and you may hear some babies crying because I'm on my way out to Washington.
That's okay. We're very proud of everything that you've accomplished, and I want to again thank you for taking up the lead on so many important issues, Brandon Jessup, as we continue to be hungry for leadership that matters. Your leadership does matter. Certainly the leadership of Michigan Forward is significant, and I can't thank you enough for what you have done for the cause of democracy, and we will be following, I promise.
Oh, no problem, Tony. Thank you, and thank you for helping us be the voice and being our voice to make sure that all of Michigan, the country, hears what's going on. So I thank you, Doc. And have a great holiday.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Brandon Jessup, right, again, the executive director of Michigan Forward. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. We're going to be open lines on the other side. You have to understand, and we talked about this last week. We've talked about it this week. For those of you that are not in a position to lead, and that I'm not saying that in a disparaging way, absolutely not, Michigan Forward is probably the perfect opportunity for you. And like I've said to you all so many times, if you can give an hour, give an hour. If you can give 10, give 10. But only give what you can give and never feel bad about that. I'm going to warn you, though, that once you give once and you see how empowering and really amazing the experience is, you're going to give more. I'm just warning you. 888-552-3595. Give me a call right now. 888-552-3595. What's on your mind? We'll get to it right after this.
A nasty note, simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Benson, and I'm wishing all of Tony's listeners a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It just certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Now, listen, I posted this to our Facebook page yesterday. I want to thank for all of you, by the way, that are following us on Facebook and liking the page. And I want to continue to encourage you to do that. Just go to Facebook and search for First Shift and like it. And then you'll know what's going on with us. Those of you, and I've had some this morning, those of you that want to be kept in the loop on what's happening in the future, just send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and I've got a little file that I've created, and I'm going to put you all in there, and once we have an announcement to make that makes any sense to share with you, then we'll do that. So feel free to do that. Anyway, I posted this article to Facebook yesterday called 11 Things Harder to Get Than Guns. 11 things harder to get than guns. And why, oh my, I wish this weren't all true, but it is. Now, I'm gonna start with number one, and it's not prioritized. It's just a list. Do you realize that in some states it's easier to buy a gun than it is to buy cigarettes, to vote, or join the army? Yep, that's right. Easier to get a gun than to do all of those. In Missouri, it can take less time to buy a gun than to get an abortion. According to state law, there, a woman wanting an abortion must see a counselor and complete a mandatory 24-hour waiting period before receiving an abortion. There's no mandatory waiting period for wannabe gun owners. In Iowa, it's easier to sell a gun than it is to sell lemonade. Technically, food vendors in some parts of the state need a business permit and food license to sell food, even from a residential location. Gun vendors don't need state license to sell guns, and inspections by police are not allowed. I'm not making this up. In Arkansas, are you starting to feel a trend here? In Arkansas, it takes less time to buy a gun than to qualify for food stamps. The approval process for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP, In Arkansas, it normally runs 30 days, though it can be expedited to 7. The background check to buy a gun from a licensed dealer can be completed in minutes or at most 3 days. In Texas, yeah, there's that pattern again. It takes less training to get a gun than a driver's license if you are under the age of 25. Adults between 18 and 24 are required to take a driver education course as well as knowledge and driving tests before they can be issued a license. To buy a gun in the state of Texas, potential owners need only show proof of ID and age. I'm not making this up. In Arizona, you need a permit to cut hair, but not to carry a concealed weapon. Arizona is one of three states, Vermont and Alaska are the others, that do not require residents to have a permit for concealed weapons. To cut hair, however, one needs to get a barber's license and fulfill 1,500 hours of instruction. In Georgia, you can carry a gun into a state park, but not alcohol. In Indiana, it costs more to get a marriage license than to get a gun license. The application for a 4-year handgun license is a whopping $10. The application for marriage, when at least one person in the state is a state resident, is 18. Out-of-state residents, by the way, pay $60 for a marriage license application. I'm not making this stuff up. In Florida, you must submit fingerprints to be a substitute teacher, but not to buy or carry a gun. In Kansas, the theft of drugs is more regulated than the theft of guns, at least as far as mandating reporting goes, that is. Healthcare facilities and pharmacies are required to report the loss or theft of controlled substances, but individual gun owners are not required to report the theft or loss of a firearm. Only 7 states in Washington, D.C. require the reporting of gun loss or theft. Anybody want to explain that one to me? In Mississippi, a driver's license has a shorter shelf life than a concealed weapons permit. A new license will expire after 4 years. That's a driver's license. While a concealed weapons permit for a handgun will expire after 5 years. Mississippi extended its laws restricting concealed firearms last year, allowing residents to carry concealed weapons in churches, courthouses, schools, and airports as long as they received 8 hours of additional training. In parts of New Mexico, it's more convenient to buy a gun than Fido, than a pet. In some parts of New Mexico, pet store sales of cats and dogs are illegal in order to stop fueling puppy mills and kitten factories, but firearms are stocked at local Walmart stores, of course. I really don't know what to say. All of that is true. All of that is true. Now, I wanted, and good, we've got a couple minutes. Excuse me. We talked to Lisa Graves about the late last week about the American Legislative Exchange Council. And one of the pieces of legislation that they are selling around the country is what's called, and I bring this up because the Electoral College vote happened around the country yesterday, where Barack Obama and Joe Biden were officially elected president and vice president of the United States. State Rep. Peter Lund is on the ALEC list. He is a member, and he is now proposing what has been proposed in other states. Drum roll, you ready for this? That we actually do the Electoral College by district, not by state. So, if Mitt Romney were to won Oakland County, whatever the amount of electoral votes in Oakland County would at that point then go to Mitt Romney. And let's say Barack Obama won Shiawassee. I'll make it simple. Let's say Barack Obama wins the state of Michigan by 9.5 points. But in 3 of our larger counties, he won. There are 18 electoral votes. Let's say those 3 counties, if divvied up, were 12 of those 18 electoral votes. Mitt Romney would have gotten 12 electoral votes. And he's actually proposing we do this. Listen, this is not new. This is, again, the American Legislative Exchange Council doing their best to just continue to screw up the electoral process. Let's make it as confusing as we possibly can. Let's make it as dysfunctional as we possibly can. And listen, will this get traction here in the state of Michigan? I don't know. And I actually spoke with somebody about this last night. They said, well, why would he introduce it after the legislative session, et cetera? Well, because yesterday was when the Electoral College voted, so it makes sense in that regard, but it makes no literal sense at all. I mean, it makes no literal sense at all, so you go figure. All right. Next hour, we're going to talk to the director of the American Worker Project of the Center for American Progress and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David K. Johnston about his new book. So we got a lot of good stuff to get to before we get out of here today. And we got lots of today left, another hour. So let's take a break for the top of the hour. Everybody go fill up their coffee, use the restroom, jog around the block, whatever it is you're going to do. And then we'll come back and chat after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
A serious accident on I-94 westbound still has your roadway closed between Little Mac Ave and Gratiot Ave. We also have another road closure due to an accident, 10 Mile Road westbound before Ryan Road. And the earlier reported accident on the Lodge southbound has been cleared. All lanes are open at this time, so that's good news. However, we do have a three-car accident blocking your right lane, Big Beaver Road westbound before North Woodward Ave. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. Tonight, a low of 34. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 44 degrees. And it's currently 38 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with...